This is PFW in progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
She's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is she all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out, you know, like, ooh, let the dogs out, ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. That was a lively show we had yesterday. We'll see if we can get to that level again. I don't know. That was a tough show.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I
no,
did
I'm
too.
No, I'm just saying, it's going to be tough to... Match that one.
A lot of stuff in here. A lot of layers to this to this week.
A lot of adrenaline yesterday.
Yes. It's a big week. A lot of emotion.
I did a little research, Freddie, for you.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
And the amount of catches he had, and you were wondering. Out of the 10 catches, 6 of them resulted in first downs. But you were talking about third downs.
Right.
Most of those came on second down.
That's what I thought.
Only 2 of them came on third down. But I don't really understand. The one thing that I would wonder about with you is, why does it matter to you whether or not the first down is – how the first down is converted?
I'm just saying that I'm wondering, you know, when the chips are down and it's third and passing and the other team knows what's coming, will he be able to – produce like Welker did. That's the strength of Welker.
Do you have the numbers for that?
I don't know.
No, but I mean Welker.
Oh, he's great. Unbelievable.
You have those numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I remember one game, it was like almost every catch he had was on third down for a first down or something like that.
A nice little player.
See, I just look at it as I need first downs. And if Welker's 10 catches, only 2 resulted in first downs, I would say Freddie's got a point. But when I saw that 6 of them resulted in first downs, I was like, well,
yeah.
I mean, that's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking
for. No, but I want to see if he can produce when the chips are down.
And there was only one ball intended for him on third down that he didn't catch, by the way.
Interesting. Not that he didn't catch it, that it was intended.
That's why I threw it out
there. I think Tom Brady would like to see if he can do it when the chips are down.
That's why, you know.
He's going to have to this week.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, too, in that someone asked, is there a concern about Brady in a game like this? Because now he's sort of out of his comfort zone, not knowing what he has, and I would say yes, because I think you've seen in the past when the times are tough and he needs a play and he's not overly confident. I think back to 06, where'd the ball go? Troy Brown. At, you know, the end of the line, Troy Brown.
Right.
Not the guy that we remember from 2001, 2002. It was 2006, and the ball got intercepted. Now, Troy ended up making the huge play of stripping Marlon McCree, and they got the ball back. But I think it was telling that you didn't see him go to Rishay Caldwell or Jabari Gaffney in those spots in 06 because he didn't really have the full-fledged confidence in those guys. And then, you know, again in the AFC Championship game, third down, they needed the first down. Where'd the ball go? Troy Brown. Remember when the Colts got the ball back? So
he threw it to Caldwell once and he dropped it.
You wonder – right. No, you're right, Freddie. But you wonder if
– eyes wide shut.
if Edelman, like you said – isn't the guy that he looks for on third down, does he start forcing it to Randy Moss?
Right.
And does that lead to problems?
Or are we stuck with the draw play to Kevin Falk?
Wow. Talk about bringing it to a dark place.
But Fred thinks they're going to win.
I do think they're going to win.
Despite that negative tone.
12
no, look, I'm not saying Edelman can't do it, but that to me is what will make up the difference for Welker. You know, Welker's so sure-handed. And he gets open. Those two things are what make him an exceptional slot receiver. You know, I understand Paul's point about guys who catch a lot of balls. You know, that can happen if, you know, you're throwing high percentage passes and, you know, they're not critical downs. You can target a guy and do that, and guys can really accumulate catches. It's the situation that Welker.
Right.
That's what
Welker,
separated him.
That's
and David Welker Givens. Excels. You remember David Givens was always very good at that. He would have 7 of 9 catches, came on third down for first down.
Right, and they were just great catches downfield.
And that's where Welker really excelled this year, I thought, is you know, the situations that he converted.
Yeah. So that will be what I need to see out of Edelman and what Brady will need to happen.
I was going to say, you get a chance to see it. Brady doesn't get a chance to see
right.
it. He just needs to
he has,
do it.
He has to have,
the faith in it.
Exactly.
And I thought Bill gave Edelman a pretty
good word is faith.
Wow.
Pat on the back today.
Really,
and
really strong. I'll be using
developed
that in my story.
About as fast as you could expect.
Yeah.
And just all the way back and the whole thing. And I was a little surprised because the question was, where is he in his development?
I thought for sure he was going to stay in the locker room.
Right. And so that.
I think he was thinking about it.
I think he was, but I think he was saying, I need him this week, so I got to give him this pat on the back.
Well,
so Brady hears it, he hears
about
it, everybody hears it.
You know, forget about the fact that, you know, he played quarterback last year, wasn't even a wide receiver. He's not big. You know, he's not tall. He can't out-muscle guy. He can't out-jump them.
Right.
He completely has to rely on just crisp route running and then the development of his hands over the course of a year.
Yeah.
It is amazing
You're
how
right.
fast he's done what he's done.
Bill,
it
the
is
only thing
truly
that Bill
remarkable.
Saw, the only thing Bill saw that he really, you know, sort of extrapolated was that he was a tough guy to tackle. You know, as the quarterback who ran the ball a lot in the MAC at Kent State, he was a tough guy to bring down. And, you know, he was shifty. He was tough. That's the only thing that really he could see. And then they worked him out as a receiver, obviously, in the, you know, in the pro day kind of workouts. And
right.
They had enough to go on there. But, you know, he said right from the start and watching him do things for the first time, like catch punts and run routes and do things that he had never done before, they were pretty impressed. And like Andy said, it was just about he adapted about as quickly as you could possibly expect.
Why doesn't he do kickoffs?
I love Dix as well.
Has he done any kickoffs this year, Andy?
I don't know.
Andy has just spilled yogurt all over himself. He looks like a kid that
just had yogurt on your chest.
He looks like a kid in I Hate You that just spit up all over himself.
Is that a hair gel?
Well, what are you doing over there?
That's two shows
serious?
In a row.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Are you serious?
What are you doing over there?
I had a little accident, just like you've had every time you've ever eaten.
Oh, yeah.
I
get it all over the microphone, all over my shirt.
Yes, your shirt, yes. Maybe not the microphone, but your shirt, yes.
No, the microphone, too. We've had other hosts come in and ask for a new windscreen because there was French fry crumbs.
Fred Smirlis and Pete Shepard asked for a new windscreen after you.
That is
utterly
amazing.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
That's amazing.
Doc, with some information.
He's actually John Rook.
John Rook.
He doesn't count.
That's not as amazing.
He's one of us.
He's a professional.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
You're going to take care of the news of the day?
Tom Brady has been selected AP Comeback Player of the Year. Is that the news you're referring to?
Well, that, and Bill said they would have a couple roster moves coming later in the day once it was all ironed out.
And?
There's already been a report in addition to the practice squad, but it sounded like Welker's going to go on IR and they're going to make a move.
Okay, what's the move? Do you know?
We don't know.
So then I don't have any news.
Nick Moore, I believe, is the practice squad wide receiver.
Yeah,
that has been thrown out there.
But report out of the locker room yesterday: Darnell Jenkins, who everybody wanted to promote, was in a walking boot.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So it rains, it pours.
But Brady has been selected as comeback player of the year by the AP.
What's he coming back from?
You know,
what's not?
We don't have time this week for that.
No.
A couple runners up. One was in third place was Vince Young. I think he got 7 votes. And who was number 2? Do you remember?
Don't know.
Number 2 was, I forget.
I didn't see it. I just heard
But
it.
Vince Young is a viable candidate for that.
You know, we've discussed
this
ad nauseum, and I think we all agree we don't really know what the criteria for the award is.
Come back. You know it when you see it.
What are you
it.
Coming back from?
It could be injury. It could be being benched for an entire season.
Yeah. See, that's why I just don't get it. I don't understand.
I think you had
Cadillac Williams.
You had a lapse of your true form, and then you came back to that form after some type of layoff.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to show the issue.
Paul's not buying it.
I think I picked Brady preseason for the award. So
everybody did. He was a layup.
It's a lock. I mean, I'm certainly not surprised that Tom won it, and he's highly deserving. I just don't understand what it is.
But that is shown in the voting. Tom Brady, 19 votes.
Yep.
ACL, MCL. Carnell Williams, 14 votes.
Oh, Cadillac Williams, right.
Vince Young, benching, suicide, mental, right. Whatever, 7 votes. Cedric Benson, sucking, 4 votes. Brett Favre, retirement, 4 votes. Anthony Hargrove.
He's the guy that had the DUIs down in St. Louis, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went to New Orleans.
DUIs. One vote.
I don't even know if it was DUI, but he had some legal trouble in St. Louis, and he went to
New
Orleans.
But not an injury. There's 5 different things represented.
Well,
the one
that doesn't make sense is Favre, because he never stopped playing, and it wasn't like
Did Benson stop playing?
Yeah, didn't he have? Wasn't he injured?
No.
Oh, then he shouldn't be on there either.
But that's my point. The voting is always spread out like that.
Vince Young,
I think he should be on there.
Well, he didn't. Why did he stop playing? He was still on the team. He played he didn't play because he wasn't good enough.
Right, but what I'm saying is he lost his form for whatever reason, mental,
that's
physical,
that's
and then he
like
came
it.
Back and regained that form.
I think he should be there.
I do too.
Because if by some accounts, he was suicidal. He came back from the depths of mental illness.
If you're going to have the award, I have no problem with Cedric Benson and Vince Young being there because they had problems. They had issues that they dealt with away from football, and they came back from them.
He's a child.
I don't like the award.
You don't understand it. Paul is
the comeback player of the year. I don't get it.
Paul's pet peeves is the comeback player of the year.
But you agree with me. It's a very it's a tough
what?
It's a tough award to sort of identify.
Like I say, you know it when you see it.
So Brady was the comeback player of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Like you said, layup.
Sure.
Yeah. Everyone sucked
with
me.
Kind of meant for us, but as Patriots Football Week, I think picking your comeback player of the year, Tom Brady was a layup.
So
James Sanders should have been the comeback player of the year because he came back during the year after being told he wasn't good enough.
Yeah, too short and not prolific enough.
He's like 5'10". That's probably average for a safety.
So there will be a personnel move later on today. We'll find out about that on Patriots.com.
Couple of them, yes.
Later on. Bill Belichick had his press conference this morning. Any news? Any more war of words with Charlie Cassidy? Quote from Charlie Cassidy yesterday saying that he stands by his story.
Yes.
He has nothing more to say. What he will say will be on CBS Sunday.
In true TV fashion.
Yes. Right.
You got to watch to find out.
There is another bit of news, although I don't know how legitimate it is. It's a rumor in the New York press that the Giants are interested in Pepper Johnson and replacing their fired defensive coordinator, Sheridan.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, Patriots would have to give permission to talk to him because it's an upgrade, right? They couldn't protect him.
I don't know what you just said.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, if the Giants wanted to talk to Pepper Johnson, we'd have to allow them to do that. We couldn't say no.
If he's under contract.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But
I
if the season ends and he wasn't under contract, they wouldn't. I don't know what his contract
status is. I don't know what his contract status is.
But in season, they would have to certainly get.
I thought that the assistants ran in congruence with Bill Belichick's contract, whatever that is.
Well, certainly a lot of them have come and gone.
Well, but for other reasons.
Didn't Brad Seeley leave and
Brad
Bill Belichick
Seeley,
didn't?
Yeah, Joel Collier. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that didn't necessarily go.
They got rid of him.
Well, my understanding was his contract ran.
No, he wanted a raise and they wouldn't give it to him.
Exactly. So he left.
Because his contract ran out.
Because his contract was out.
Are you sure about that?
Well,
yes.
No, you're not.
That's how I understood it.
Paul, don't be sure about that.
I'm all right. I won't say I'm sure. I'm 99.9% sure.
I'm
I won't say
sure
I'm 100%.
Too.
99.9%.
Okay.
Based on the information that I've gotten.
Okay.
He wanted more money.
He wanted more money. But that
and
doesn't mean
said,
his contract was up.
I'm told it was.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it's right. That's why I'm saying 99.9. It might not be right.
Right.
Unless you've seen the contract, you never really
exactly. Know. So I will hold that the loophole there.
Okay,
for you.
Good. Good.
And Joel Collier, I believe, also was in a similar kind of situation. His contract was up, and he was asked not to return.
Dom Capers.
Well, I think he only had a one-year contract. He was
his contract was
he
up.
Was a special
so,
case.
So there are guys that don't have contracts that run
he was a special
in congruence,
case.
As you would say, with Belichick's.
You know. But that's usually the way you like to do it.
I'd be surprised if he was offered that job. It just doesn't really seem to make sense football-wise to me.
No.
They're a 4-3 team, and Peppers played in Bill's 3-4 scheme and coached it for 20 years now.
But now he's coaching defensive line. He's not even coaching linebackers, you know? So, I don't know. He could do anything. I mean, if he's going to be – he was a linebacker. He's coaching defensive line. I don't think you need to be a defensive coordinator and have – you know, you have to have been a 4-3 player to be a defensive coordinator on a 4-3 team.
I didn't say you did, but he's never played in or worked in anything but the 3-4.
And when Bill Belichick goes and talks about Pepper
what
Johnson
Dean
today,
what has played in?
But he this is
he coached
this,
in the 3-4, and that's
that
why
coached.
They brought him here from Nick Saban
know, but what is
to
he,
Bill Belichick.
What has he played in?
I didn't say right. You have to play in it. See, this is where you fix it. You don't listen to what people say.
I know, but Pepper is
for 25 years. He's been in the exact same 3-4 scheme
won't let
as
you
a
get
player
the Trump
and a
card
coach.
Out there of
right.
What Belichick just said about him, saying
I mean,
that his,
you just don't listen.
His number one strength, he believes, is the fact that he played in this system,
right,
and can express
that's,
it.
That's his number one strength as a coach.
But my point is,
you don't need to
have played in
to
a
me.
System to be a coach.
Didn't say that.
You just don't listen.
No one's saying that you had to play in the system. Matter of fact, Bill said, I've never played in it. Matt Patricia has never played in
right.
It. Dean Pease has never
what
played
say,
in
thank
it.
God.
Thankfully, none of us has ever played in that system.
Right.
But they all coached the system.
Right.
Dean Pease ran the system in college.
Right.
But you don't have to have played in it, Paul. That's all he hears is play, play, play. The coach part just goes in
my
one
guess
and right
is
out
that
the other.
If Pepper Johnson wants to become a defensive coordinator someday, somewhere, he's probably going to implement the Patriots' defense.
Right.
I don't think the Giants have the personnel to do that. So I don't think it's a good fit.
That was my point. Not that he played or didn't play.
So you don't think he understands a 4-3?
Oh,
I think.
God.
You'd hire him today to run your 4-3 defense.
I don't know. I'd have to look at him. This for whatever reason, you're the one that said the Giants are interested in him.
No,
he said
there are rumors out of New York.
That.
Okay.
Because he played for the Giants.
For whatever reason, they're interested in
him. My guess is that.
It's a rumor. We don't
know
that
they're
interested.
My guess is that a New York paper threw a name out there that makes sense.
Well,
that's
just
my
like
guess.
We
all right,
do.
So then they're not interested in him.
I don't
know. No, we
don't
know that. You stop taking one word and running.
I mean, you're saying there's interest in Pepper Johnson from a
rumor.
Okay.
And I couldn't have prefaced that any
more. Let's say that the rumor's true.
Okay.
Let's say the rumor's true.
I think it's
a bad decision.
I think they sit and talk to him, and they say we're not interested.
All right, but for whatever reason, they said, hey, this guy could be our defensive coordinator.
You know what the sum of his experiences running anything other than Bill Belichick's defenses?
Yeah.
Scout team. Running it off cards.
I wouldn't hire him.
Okay, why wouldn't you?
And my guess is if the Giants were interested in that and they kicked the tires on it, they realized this is a 3-4 guy who's been in Belichick's system. He's not for us.
Yeah.
That's my guess. But I don't know that. Maybe the Giants just want him and want the name. Former Giant, you know, had a great career there. Maybe that's what they're looking for.
I think that
would be a foolish move by them.
You know, that's the one thing that, the biggest thing that I think all the Giants fans and media and Coughlin and Mara were pissed off about this year was their defense. They thought they should have been, with the people they had, a lot better.
That's why the guy was dismissed 8 hours after the season ended.
And I mentioned that last week, that the first thing I would do immediately upon the completion of the season is fire the defensive coordinator.
So, you know, with the kind of talent they think they have, what do you think, what kind of guy do you think they should be bringing in? Is it kind of like a Singletary type of fiery guy that just knows how to motivate because these guys are experienced veterans? Or do you bring in a guy who's, you know, a real thinker, you know, as a coordinator?
I think the guy has to have some fire. I think all coordinators have to have some emotion. I think there's an emotional level to that job. But, I mean, first and foremost, I think they need a 4-3 guy with some pass-rushing schemes and things of that nature.
Maybe if they can wait another couple of weeks, they can just rehire Spagnuolo. Didn't go all that well at St. Louis.
It's true.
I'm kidding. It's 1 year.
So
that's a bad team.
One and done.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Mike and Sharon, who wants to talk about Nick Caserio's role as a coach, not Pepper Johnson, but Nick Caserio. Hey, Mike.
Hey guys. Obviously, I don't know how limited Bill O'Brien was in terms of his play calling this past weekend, but I'm kind of getting sick and tired of being able to guess the offense, especially in certain situations. They seem to go back to what I consider to be, you know, something that the other team's defense better have down sound, otherwise they're going to get killed. For instance, the running back screen. And I was wondering maybe if Nick Caserio should step up and be offensive coordinator slash play caller. I mean, the guy has probably is top, one of the top five in terms of who knows the system, because he's coached the running backs, he's coached the wide receivers, and he's practiced at being the Patriots quarterback as well. So I kind of want to sort of put him over Bill O'Brien in the playoffs.
Well, first of all, I mean, do we know Bill O'Brien's calling all the plays? Because
do we know Nick Caserio's not?
Lawrence Maroney said Bill Belichick was the play caller. So there is at least some mud in the water there as to who's calling the plays when.
And I mentioned to you guys, and I won't say where I heard it, but a couple of people have told me that they've had multiple play callers
right.
this year.
Yeah, and that's my point.
I don't know
when.
If that's accurate, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus for that. But
right.
who knows? When you're dealing with a team
like
the Patriots.
Was one guy at home and one guy on the road?
When you're dealing with a team like the Patriots, I really don't think you can toss anything out right. as out of hand, because I think any and all possibilities are viable.
And I don't think your idea is stupid based on
Caserio's
background. I mean, not only what you mentioned, all that stuff in the offense, but he's tasked with finding players to fit the scheme. So he has to know the scheme to know who's going to fit the scheme.
You know, Mike, it's a similar thing with Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss was Curtis Martin's, was Ben Coates' coach. He was Curtis Martin's coach. And then he was Terry Glenn's coach. And that was kind of his claim to fame. You know, he had coached three Pro Bowlers before he became offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, I'm able to call the plays based on what I see coming out of the formations before they even snap the ball.
Yeah, but you've been to more practices than anyone else.
Yeah, you probably know the teams better than the opponent does.
If any of the opponents were smart, they'd be calling Mike and Sharon and getting a game plan.
But in terms of, you know, the actual, I mean, you know, they have a million plays on tape of them doing the running back screen. And, like, that third or fourth quarter play when they – you know, should have ran it and did the running backs, or at least tried to set up a running back screen. And it's like, okay, I know exactly what's coming right there, and I know they're not going to run it. I know they're going to the screen. And, you know, if I know it, then the defense probably knows it.
Well, I mean, I think part of their predictability is the personnel. We've talked about this in recent weeks. They only have so much to work with, and when they put the personnel out there in certain formations, you do kind of have a feeling for what's coming. And I don't know if you can change and fix all that over the course of this week. And, you know, they're going to be without Wes Welker. Do you really, assuming Caserio hasn't been calling the plays, do you really all of a sudden heading into the postseason just change it up on the fly and really throw everything in the wind?
I kind of fall in the opposite camp, too. Sometimes I get frustrated when they try to trick you too much. And I think then they outthink themselves. And now they've had a lot of success doing it, but I think there have been other times they've gotten themselves in trouble doing it. You know, and I'll give you a case in point. Who was looking for Sam Aiken deep down the sideline late in the fourth quarter of a tie game? I wasn't.
Right.
That one caught me by surprise, and it ended up being a bad throw and got picked off.
Yep.
So, obviously, Houston was reasonably prepared for it.
I mean, quite frankly, maybe Sam wasn't really, you know, the go-to receiver on that play, and it was, you know, more so Brady trying to get rid of the ball, I think.
He was definitely under pressure than that. He was getting...
it happened awfully quickly for me not to think that he was the primary receiver on that play.
No, I mean he was way behind his defender, except
he
the safety
in the
came over.
Yeah, he was in the seam in between, and the ball was overthrown.
Yeah,
on a
safety.
Dart, he was open.
Yeah,
there was too much air, and the safety came over. But
and I think Brady had to get over the rush. There was a rush right in front of his face, and
Mario Williams drilled him.
But even that play, like. I feel like Aiken, that's what he's become. Brady's going to take a couple chances to him deep.
I know, and I'd like to see him be a little bit more high percentage to see what he could do.
Well, I think they've done that, and it's limited.
Yeah.
There was one of those games he went to Aiken like six out of eight plays in a row or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
and there were a couple good ones, and then it started to peter out, and you said, well, that's Sam
as
Aiken.
As long as he catches the ball right now, that's all I'm looking for.
He didn't in that game. He tipped one.
Right.
He dropped one. I mean... You know. That's what you're faced with. So the one thing he's shown the ability to do is make some plays down the field, right? Fight for the ball. He's a strong receiver. And I think if you're Brady's perspective, you throw it up there because you know he's going to fight for it.
If there's a DB in the way, he's going to use his size like he's a special teamer and try to throw the guy down and make sure it's at least not a pick. That obviously didn't happen on Sunday, but I think that's part of some of the confidence in throwing deep to Aiken, too.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, guys.
All right. All Mike right. and Sharon, Mike the next Sharon. OC of the NEP.
Yeah.
And you know, when Andy says that he watches silly. Every practice in training camp, he's not kidding.
Oh, no.
He really
it's
does.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And the Caserio suggestion is not silly. I would not be surprised in the least to find out that he has a heavy input
right.
on game planning and play calling.
Stripper says a couple Edelman notes for us. One, that he had 11 kickoff returns for a 21.9 yard average.
Oh, he's returned 11 kicks this
I
year.
Thought he was back on kicks, but the way you guys said
I thought he was too, but I don't remember him returning
yeah,
one.
I just and
because
then also
they all went for 20 yards.
Yeah, back in the draft.
I assume they were touchbacks.
This is from an April 22nd Ohio football blog. Edelman really impressed at his pro day workout in the Kent State Fieldhouse. Ran a 4.51 in the 40, which would have topped all quarterbacks at the NFL scouting combine in February and placed him in the top 15 among receivers. Edelman's times of 3.91 seconds in the short shuttle and 10.74 in the long shuttle would have been the fastest times recorded at the combine, regardless of position. NFL people asked him to run the short shuttle again because they didn't believe the number, and Edelman actually ran it even faster the next time. Quote, he's a really skilled guy, similar to Antoine Randall L. and Seneca Wallace. He can play wildcat, return kicks, and he may be the next Wes Welker as a wide receiver, a league insider said. That was back in April.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Thank you, Strippers, for that Ohio football blog.
Wonder who that was.
I don't know.
Who was the insider?
Don't know.
Tom McDaniels?
Burt Breer?
Tom McDaniels.
Could be Burt Breer, maybe.
I doubt it.
Well, he's a big Ohio State fan.
He is.
All right. What, Paul, you look tired.
I'm not.
A little out of it, zoned out?
Well, I don't like when I have to leave.
You're thinking ahead to the big show.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that.
He's looking ahead.
You're lying your ass off.
What game are you going to bring to the big show today? Do you prepare a little bit? Like, this is my slant today?
No.
Are you going to be argumentative, Paul, like the last week? Because last week
Is there anything else?
You were arguing with everybody.
Evidently, what I really missed last week is I think I've monopolized the arguing on this show because, from what I understand, when I left, all hell broke loose last week between you and Eric.
Well,
that's true.
That's true.
So I might be looking forward to catching the podcast later on tonight to see the last hour.
Well, I don't know if Eric's going to be here today. Is he going to be here?
Yes. He's out at practice.
Is that practice right now?
Yes. 12:20 practice.
12:20
out on the game field.
Okay.
Well, he'll say the lower bowl or something. What does he always say?
Who knows? Something stupid.
And just say, instead of saying, you know, inside the stadium or something.
What's the temp now for, what's the weather for Sunday? What's the latest?
20.
High of 22 or something.
High of 22. Wind?
Here, always.
Don't know about wind.
Yeah.
But I'm going with here, always.
Any precipitation?
I have not heard. Oh, for God's sakes. I have not heard.
I love
anything.
That. They show the women in the bikini in the commercial, and then they have this arrow that goes straight up.
It's true.
My God.
What? We're talking about hydroxy cut commercial or something.
All right. Let's see. What else we got here? We got emails.
A lot of emails.
A lot of emails at webradio@patriots.com. But right now, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir?
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America, NA member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
That's I don't think the league made us do that. Because the league was on us for a long time about the condition of our field. And we never did anything about it until we lost to a bum team. Sorry about that.
Whoa.
Sorry about that.
What are you doing?
It's been a while.
Wow.
It's been a while.
No, but
I apologize a thousand times.
The league did
force
the Patriots.
But I hate the Jets. See what happens?
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address.
What?
508-743-7482. You turn away from the mic every time.
But in from the cold, wearing an olive V-neck sweater.
I don't think that's olive.
It's not olive.
Is that a Kelly or a Hunter?
Forest green.
Forest Tucker.
Don't make me gay, does it?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't. But
Eric's.
You know how I know you're gay?
Eric's in from the cold and practice. So, what's going on out there, Eric?
No, Wes. Sadly. Boy, you know.
That's bold.
Thanks for that one.
He ain't the best information man in the business for nothing.
We better tweet that.
No Welker, no Connolly. Both of them, as you know, got hurt in the Houston game. Everybody else was there, including two newcomers. Number 14, who looks oddly...
Baby Ortiz?
Oddly like Baby
Little
Ortiz.
Poppy?
Little Poppy, it looks like.
That's what we've turned to.
Well, here's why. Because we looked at Stacey James, our PR guy, and said, Little Poppy? David Ortiz? Robert Ortiz? Sure. Was the answer. Didn't sound convincing, so we'll get a release on that later. And then number 17, who we believe is Nick Moore, brother of Saints wide receiver Lance Moore, because Lance Moore tweeted that his brother was with the Patriots.
There we go.
Now, that's really a source close to the situation.
Right. That's putting two and two together.
Sure is.
Yep.
So,
and not getting four out of it.
The person we thought was Ortiz was wearing his number 14, as he was wont to do the few times he's been here.
It's wont with an O.
And Nick Moore was wearing 17.
So okay. Not a lot of
practice guys out. Anyone?
Comforting.
I just said Welker and Connolly.
What about
the two guys
guy?
That got hurt?
What guy
so
in the Warren's boot? Back?
Everybody.
Back.
Everybody.
Everybody's there.
Everybody but those two.
So Darnell Jenkins is no longer in a boot?
He wasn't on the boot out there.
I need to confirm.
Was he out there? That's a good question.
Oh, my God.
What are we going to do when the guy calls and says, how about we promote Darnell Jenkins? He's fast.
No. No, he wasn't out there. No, the boot was a one-day thing.
It's not
no,
fast.
He's going to be the second guy to go on practice squad IR.
What do you got for me? Don't have anything for you on him.
I thought he took attendance.
We did, but we get kicked out early. So we always go for the active roster guys first.
So then why did you yell at whoever and say, just Conley and Welker, just Conley and
Welker? That's all I had.
Well, clearly you didn't have a definitive answer on my guy Jenkins.
I'm with Eric. If you only have a certain amount of time, you got to make sure
we barely have stretching
before you worry about the practice.
Right, so I go with the active guys first.
Well, you might have said, but we didn't really get to the practice squad.
The big news is that Wilfork and Warren are at least out there.
Yes,
and Brady. That's irrelevant.
How about Aiken? Is he out there?
Yes.
Okay. He just had a deer in headlights look.
Well, because
I think the fact that Brady was out there is
Brady and Moss. It's a Wednesday.
He hasn't been out there on a Wednesday in a month.
It's and Moss was there too.
Yeah, but isn't this? Well, they took Monday off.
Yes,
they treated
That's
Tuesday.
True. They
like,
probably took yesterday off. Right?
Tuesday was a Monday and a Tuesday, according to Bill.
So are they still treating Wednesday like a Wednesday? Do we
yes.
know?
Yes, okay. Wednesday is like a Wednesday.
I get
today.
Confused.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this could be really a Thursday.
No, it's really a Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
Because Sunday's a Sunday. If Saturday were a Sunday,
regardless
then this
of what
would
day
be
they're
Thursday.
Treating it as, it's the first practice of the week, and he hasn't been on the field for the first
That's
practice
true.
Of the
they're
week
both out
in,
there.
In at least a month.
Right.
They're both out there.
Warren, Wilfork, Brady Moss.
Well, you know, going by the scenario that they need as many reps with this new offense, yeah. Edelman as Welker makes mm-hmm. sense, right?
Sure. Yep. Got to get out there.
Yeah. Edelman out there?
Yes, Fred.
Okay, good. Because it would all that would that whole theory
yeah, that
would blow
really, yeah,
out
would
the water
it,
if
right.
Edelman wasn't there.
Right.
So would the season.
My head's going to blow out of the water in a second.
Oh, boy. So
anything else,
practicing
Eric?
Out in the bowl there, Freddie?
Told you.
In the bowl.
In the bowl.
In the bowl.
Right. Yes.
Game field.
Game field where it will, action will take place on Sunday at 1.
Why the hell not? You know?
Yeah. It's there. Might as well use it.
Get used to sure. the swirling winds.
Right.
I have a bowl that swirls.
If they're not used to it by now. That's a bowl.
No, the toilet bowl swirls.
And not I create when you're winds in it. It just plugs right up.
Okay.
So there you go. There you have it.
That's it.
Practice.
Paul, yep. did you want to update your prediction on the game?
No. I still think the Patriots are going
to
win.
That's not what you said to me the second Bill Belichick's
funny.
Press conference ended.
I said when the press conference is over, I'm changing my pick. I now think that we're going to lose because Bill went through this ridiculous defense of Derek Burgess. And I was just like, if he's really going to be that vindictive.
Well,
of
I'm interested. What is
Fred,
what
come
is
on now. That was
who,
a Paul story just add water. Who, since 2000, has played the edge of this defense against both the run and the pass the best?
Since 2000?
Yes.
Ever.
I'd say Mike Vrabel.
I wouldn't. Bill
Derek
wouldn't.
Derek Burgess is the answer to that question, according to Bill. So I got a little offended as a reporter.
Wait till Mike Vrabel gets wind of that.
I don't know.
He
certainly hasn't made the big plays that Vrabel has, but he's only been here a year.
16 games. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
He's been on this. He plays the run bandwagon since the day he arrived. If you remember, he described him as a two-way player.
I know.
Everybody thinks this is a guy who plays solid against the run, plays bigger than he is against the run, blah, blah, blah.
If Burgess hadn't come here with us expecting sacks, would you say, he's not bad, you know?
If he didn't come with the resume he right. came with, I would say he's having an okay year.
Yeah. I'd be noncommittal.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because I haven't seen him do anything good or terrible.
Yeah.
I think he just is out there every play.
Right. He doesn't stink.
I haven't seen any semblance of a pass rush at all.
Right.
And I don't think he's been overly effective setting the edge.
I think he's been near the quarterback lately. You know,
He's had a couple sacks.
He's had five sacks since he's been here.
Four, I think.
He's had a couple of sacks lately.
He got the fifth one in the game, yeah.
But I haven't noticed him at all, on a consistent basis for 16 games.
No. Yeah, he's had a quiet year, I'd say. Productive,
yeah,
that's arguable. But
I still think the Patriots will win the game, Freddie. I was being sarcastic.
Okay.
And did you throw out the question, the trivia question you gave me at the press conference, or before the press conference, about the winning records?
Fred, did you know we still have the winningest record since 2001 in all of professional sports?
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
Percentage-wise.
Does that start in week three?
Yes, percentage.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. And number two is the Colts.
Yeah.
Can you guess the number three team?
All of professional sports
no,
in
you
the
can't.
United
percentage-wise?
Yes, you already said that. No.
I don't know.
Wrong sport.
I'll give you the city, Miami.
The Miami Hurricanes. I don't know.
Wrong sport.
Professional sports.
The Dolphins? Really?
Wrong
the Fusion.
The Fusion.
Soccer.
What?
That's what I said.
Is that a women's soccer league?
No, it's WNBA.
No, it was MLS. No, it was
Is
MLS.
It?
But
Miami
it was one
Fusion.
Season, I believe, or something like that.
Oh, come on. Are we going to...
I'm just giving you what the chart says on the back of the release.
A minimum of three seasons played.
That's not what the chart says, though.
Okay, just going by the chart that your team uses.
He's upset now.
I like trivia. That's not trivia.
Yeah,
that's
not a good
sense.
One.
That's trivial. Name the four teams that are still in the top five, in top ten on both offense and defense to close out the season. Just so you know, Patriots no longer one of them. Fell out. Now 11th.
Green Bay,
Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and another one.
New Orleans?
There's four.
I just can't believe Pittsburgh is in the top of anything.
Pittsburgh, Green Bay,
Dallas,
Minnesota,
Philly.
Indy.
Philly's defense has been weak.
I don't know. You guys get those.
Indy gave up a lot of points the last 2 weeks. They may have, their backups may have cost them some numbers.
The Globe has tweeted out that the Patriots have two new wide receivers at practice, Nick Moore and a mystery number 14, to which Stripper says Eric did a better job than them because he knows who 14 is.
Assuming it's Ortiz.
Assuming, yeah.
If it's not Ortiz, then Eric did a terrible job.
We have a sure confirmation.
It's actually
from
Mike Sheridan.
Sure. Sure.
We have a sure.
Speaking of,
question mark?
Possibly knowing old wide receivers, Stacy actually talked to me in Houston. In the lobby of the hotel, a former Patriots wide receiver came up to him and it said hello to Stacy. He shook his hand and said, "Hey, Stacy, how you doing?" Stacy didn't know who it was, and the guy knew. And he said, "You don't remember me, right? I assume you don't remember me." And they talked for a second, and it came to Stacy. But Shockmane Davis.
Shockmane Davis.
Wow.
He's a Houston dude?
I guess. Wow. I don't remember where he was.
2000 from. Season.
A shocker for Stacy.
Yeah. Shockmane Davis.
Let's see. Treats from L.A. writes in. Long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Good to have you aboard.
With all the turmoil this season, PFW in Progress has been more entertaining than ever.
Thank you.
To the point where mid-season I was watching the games to better enjoy the show. Tuesday's show might have been the best ever.
Wait a minute. So we don't support the team anymore? Now the team supports our show.
Right.
Their prep work for our show.
Right.
Wow.
Somebody get this to Bill Belichick.
I love Paul's rants about news jerks. I worked in a newsroom here in L.A. for 6 years, and my experience is that 90% of journalists are fraudulent morons. Paul is a rare breed, a good-humored sports pundit.
I'm just a moron.
A good-humored sports pundit who knows what he's talking about and is willing to acknowledge good points from others. More sports talk is a bunch of, again, fraudulent morons who perpetuate the fallacy that desperately clinging to an arbitrary opinion is somehow entertaining. F those bastards.
So you don't like Fred?
Fred, you've become my favorite because you're more of a fan than an analyst, and I've needed that this year. Plus, you say ridiculous things that amuse me. Of course, Fred's homerism must be balanced out by a jaded critic, a role served admirably by Andy. Finally.
Wait a minute. Why is Eric not the jaded one?
Finally.
He closed the dynasty 2 weeks ago.
Finally, I'm sending Eric good energy for success with the ladies and painting sales in 2010. Advice, start giving those suckers, your coworkers, more you know what. The truth is
sugar, honey,
game,
iced tea.
And there's plenty to work with. P.S. Oh, I can't read the last part.
Why?
Because he starts saying who isn't good, and we don't need to. He said you don't have to read it on the air.
Doc? Rhymes with.
No.
Give me a rhymes with.
No.
Lason.
No.
Why? I want to know. I don't get these emails.
I'm not going to give you a rhymes with.
How about it?
No.
Is it a fellow a beat reporter?
No.
Does it sound like slow?
No.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Next top. Why can't it be me?
All right.
Because if it's the person I'm now thinking of, I don't think anything rhymes with it.
No. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
I couldn't give myself a rhyme if it's the person I'm now thinking of.
Fat Pat is on the phone. I don't know who that is. Hi, Fat Pat.
Hey, how you guys doing? No, I used to email every now and then. You know, I just haven't emailed in a while. So
under the name Fat Pat?
Yeah, same name.
Okay.
That's what I used to call the offensive lineman who was here, Fat Pat.
Fat Pat Downey.
Yeah, Fat Pat Downey.
He's doing very well, by the way, with his training, football training.
And he's not fat anymore.
Right, not fat at all.
No, I just wanted to talk about Sunday's game. And, you know, like,
I know how
even even during the course of the season, you know, I was thinking, you know, if we get this, we get this division wrapped up, we have the first game here at home. And I figure, you know, I like our chances here at home against any one of those wild card teams. And then, you know, Walker goes down, and I'm just like, you know, oh, man. But I look at the Ravens, and I mean, if we don't win the game for us, I think the Ravens may win the game for us because they are just too many penalties on that team. So many penalties, so many costly, like, in critical situations with those guys.
115 penalties, only two teams had more.
And it happened the first time. They probably win that game without those two roughing the passes.
That's why they lost the game the first time, no question.
Yeah, and it happened the first time. And, you know, I was watching, I saw maybe, I think, just about, like, the last 10 minutes of the, I guess Pittsburgh. I saw maybe, like, only 10 minutes of that game, and it was just unbelievable the amount of penalties they were doing. And they needed that game, you know? They needed that game, and then they threw it away. I think they had two touchdowns or something.
Two touchdowns called back by penalty, and another one dropped by Derek Mason.
Yeah, and they had that. They also had that interception at the end of the game that got called back also.
Right.
You know, and I saw a lot of penalties just in those 10 minutes, and then they started showing replays, and I was just like, it was unbelievable. So, you know, I think if Edelman can move the chains for us, maybe the Ravens defense will. I mean, just by, you know, causing all these penalties. I mean, so I think we should be able to get through this week, at least. And especially because I think they're very fired up, and I think they're a very emotional team, and even the coach. Look at the coach. The coach had 15 yards, you know, called on him the last time we played.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it starts at the top. If he starts losing his mind, you know, I think it trickles down to the players, and the players start going crazy, and then, you know, hopefully they just self-destruct.
Could be.
Really.
M.O. is that they make mistakes at critical times.
And that costs you in the playoffs. I mean, if you're going to say they lost a regular season game because of that here, that's one thing, but it's always, as Bill said, every game in the playoffs is going to be close. It's going to be heightened importance on situational play, and penalties are key in that area.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel great as if you're a Patriots fan saying, well, if they're going to commit 10 penalties and that's how we're going to win. I mean, is that really what
you're saying? Well, I mean, there's still things that we need to do ourselves, of course. I mean, we need to get, we need to get, I think, I don't know who to credit this for, but somebody yesterday said that, you know, you get Edelman in early, so that you could kind of have the defense, leaning forward, and then you go to Moss, so that they could pay attention to Edelman. Let Edelman know that he is like a viable part of the offense, and then maybe you could start going to Moss and start going to other places. So I think it'll be very important if we get Edelman, some touches early in that ball game.
I agree.
Yeah. Yep.
The only problem with that is, what if Moss doesn't really like it? And pouts?
Well,
he's going to
laugh.
I know, but that's you all shrug your shoulders and roll your... But clearly throughout this season, we've learned that dealing with Randy Moss is part of your... Yeah. You have to think about it.
Tommy talked to him. He understands.
Edelman's going to get the ball, I think, early. I just don't think that's going to change anything that Baltimore does.
I don't either. I think it could change something Randy Moss does.
And I do agree with Andy. You are not going to win this game with Randy Moss catching one or two passes.
And hoping that the Ravens commit double-digit penalties.
Right. I think Moss needs to make plays.
Moss to be involved in this offense, and if he's not, I don't know if you have enough offense.
All right, Fat Pat, thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
But I do agree with Fat Pat's overall analysis of the Ravens. I think they're a very emotional team that commits key penalties at bad, bad spots, and that's not good coming into the playoffs. They're a good team, but I think that's what held them back from being a very good team, because I think they easily could have won two or three more games, just like everybody else always thinks that they could win two or three more games. Mm. They really threw away games. Bill, sort of documented them yesterday and today about their fourth quarter back and forth games. You know, their kicker cost them a game. Their mouths cost them a game. Their just overall sloppiness cost them the Pittsburgh game. It's just unbelievable how many times that they just threw games away.
So they fall in line with that Jack Del Rio emotional coach.
And you wonder if
Harbaugh's not an ex-player, but he's an ex-special teams coach, which is that's emotion.
And you wonder
like
with a team like that.
So we'll see what happens.
And you wonder in a team like that if you have to take that part of it.
Del Rio.
Can they still play Ravens football and tone that part of it down? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, they can. I mean, they play well at times.
Yeah.
They
have a chip on their shoulder coming in here because they feel like they probably should have won that game in week
4. I'm sure, but what does that chip do? Does it make them too fired up? Can they control that? I don't know.
It's hard to tell with Ray Lewis. Yeah. He's going to do that Harris dance.
No, but they've been able to do that in the playoffs. And that's, I just point to last year. You know, they've been able to get that emotion going in the right direction, and they use it in their favor. Now, I also agree that Fat Pat brought up a point that I think that, that really Rodney Harrison talked about it. The Patriots will use this Welker thing in a perverse positive way where they'll say, no one thinks you can win now, even though we're all picking him to win. You know, me, you, well, I should
not
say
all
you're
of us.
All, you and I are still picking him to win. And a lot of people, you know, I've heard nationally, and Brian Billick said it, you know, Teddy Bruschi, obviously it's a little biased, but a lot of the national guys have picked the Patriots to win that game. Bill will rally this around. They're all saying we lost the most important guy in this team, and we can't score any points without him.
That's what I said yesterday.
They think you can't score.
The only way
Russ.
I think they win is that, as I said yesterday. My only fear is that, just like Spygate and just like they've done over the years, that first game, Matt Cassel, they emotionally rally from bottom to top, top to bottom, and everywhere in between, and it's us against the world.
Okay.
And that can carry them for a week.
Okay, so, yeah, I was just going to say, it carries them for a week.
Works for a
Does
week.
It work when
we'll,
they go to
we'll
San Diego?
We'll figure something else next week. We'll deal with next
right.
week after this game.
Well, that's a fair mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's
I'm
exactly
that.
What you do.
Right. I just don't know that I buy it.
Perspective. I mean, I'm just looking at the big
we'll
picture.
We'll come up with something.
I still think at it one game at a time. I
still think the team that rallied around everything was a different team than this one.
Yeah.
It was.
To rally, you need to make plays. As Eric said, where are the playmakers? Where?
Stripper says... The Globe is tweeting that there was a lot of excitement at practice. Two coaches are yelling, playoffs, playoffs. Did you hear that?
Didn't hear that
well,
part, no.
First of all, you're not supposed to
tweet what
so
coaches
that's break,
say.
That's typical Globe mentality.
We'll
breaking
about
the rules
playoffs?
That are in place for everybody else.
You're not supposed to report anything that's said by coaches
so,
or
Eric,
players.
I will step in and I'll defend you
Thank
because
you.
You're not supposed to say that.
Would you say there were excitement?
No more than there usually is.
Now I'm really defending Eric because now I think they're making more out of something than was really there.
Isn't that how every practice starts with coaches yelling stuff?
I don't know.
But you're really not.
Have you ever been to practice? They're always yelling stuff.
I know that sounds like a very benign thing, but you're really not supposed to quote anything that you hear on the practice field.
Right.
That's a rule.
But beyond it, it doesn't sound all that telling to me.
Well
I mean, Romeo Crennel, remember, hurry, hurry, hurry.
Well,
every coach has their shtick that they yell at the beginning of practice.
I think if they were yelling
playoffs. You
mentioned
the Pepper thing with the scouting team.
Right.
I need to. Right. I got Brew.
Need to. Got to.
Nico. Nico.
Nico.
They're always yelling.
Yeah, but if they were yelling
specifically
playoffs.
It's like my high school coach who every day said, great day for football, man. If we made the playoffs and he started saying it. He said it every day.
If they're yelling specifically playoffs, then you can extrapolate that maybe – the theme of the week is you need a new mentality for this week because it's playoff.
The theme of the week is it's the playoff.
It's,
I think
it's
that's,
one game season.
So now Fred's going
I think
from breaking the rule of quoting a coach what he says in the field to extrapolating what he meant by it.
Right. I think anything that the Globe might have tried to extrapolate from that is a little bit of a stretch.
Wow.
It was no more. It was.
Let's continue this media on media.
Well,
crime.
If we're going down that road, which member of the Globe was out there?
Oh, I don't do Paul Perillo like naming of names.
Give him initials and he'll say it. Give him one initial.
A. Okay.
Bert Breer.
No.
Oh, no?
I just said
Adam,
A.
Adam Kil- Well, Albert Breer.
Albert.
Well,
but Adam
you said
Kilgore
Bert.
You were talking about.
I know.
Yeah.
What was that, Paul? I missed it.
It was no different than any other practice that I've seen
Come again?
This year. Eric walked on your line there. Come again?
I only said it twice.
Rich writes in, Paul.
Johnny Cash,
Rich,
I walked the line.
Is this my brother, Rich?
As only you and Fred know that we can win, I wanted to ask you, even though Andy was right once in 2005,
that's
couldn't
correct.
One make a case
Take
for
the Bucks
fact
to win the Super Bowl in 02.
Couldn't one make a case for the fact that in a time when our roster was good enough for Andy and Eric in 07, it probably was not good enough in 01 either? Since we know how each of these seasons ended, would Fred be justified to reach across and give them each a good slap and take their lunch money?
No.
I suppose, you know, I don't think anybody here, including Eric and Andy, is eliminating any chance for the Patriots to win. Are you?
Well, Eric is.
Eric is.
No.
Oh, you... I gave what did I not give them a percentage chance to win when we were talking about it upstairs?
One?
Let's smack them.
No.
Fred, smack them.
Did we not? We all gave
it. Rich is right.
I went with 39%. What was yours?
Give me your lunch money.
Give me your lunch money.
No.
It's like that commercial when they're all grown-ups and they have the kids' voices.
Yeah.
Hand it over.
Hand it over.
No, really, what was your percentage?
10.
10% chance of victory.
What's your percentage of chance victory, Fred?
100? 60.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
8.
What's 60. Yours, Paul?
See, Bill's less optimistic than I am. He's going with what? Duck?
8.
I thought Fred was like 100. I mean, you predicted a blowout.
By the way,
31 to 10
or something
restocking. Like
31-21.
Oh, 31-21. It's not quite a blowout.
If they really are unable to cheer.
I got three defensive scores if they get into 31.
Right. If they really are unable to cheer for us, is there any way you could pull some strings so that the next time either of them are in the locker room, we make them wear a T-shirt that says, Belichick has no credibility with me?
I like it. That'll be the last time those two. Yeah.
Here is a serious question. What player would be first to slap them once inside the locker room? So if they walked in with that, who would slap them first?
I tell you who wouldn't. Adalis Thomas.
Yeah, the back says, I'm with AD.
Well done.
Of the shirt.
Mission.
Who would be the first to slap,
Yeah. Us?
None of them.
There would be some of the guys that you know, that you like. You know, like Ty Warren might come over and
jokingly do something. Yeah.
You know, Jimmy. Jimmy might say something to you. But I got to be honest with you. I think you could wear a shirt like that in the locker room and no one would notice.
I don't think you'd get much...
Yesterday,
pushback.
John.
Or they would just laugh.
Yeah.
Yesterday, John Rooks said, "I don't think there would be too many fans that would be shocked if they, the Patriots, did make it to the Super Bowl." Unbelievable. Is anyone going to mention the Ravens' banged-up secondary? Enjoy the game, Paul.
Paul.
Okay. Thanks.
Wow. That was only
that
Paul.
Was still Rich.
Yep.
I call him Dick.
I think I think most Patriots fans would be shocked if they made it to the Super Bowl.
I do too.
Be shocked if they made it to San Diego.
It doesn't mean you're not sitting there and helping.
Do you remember the emails we got the week before Welker? I mean, people were still not buying.
Right.
And now they lost Welker. I think most of Patriots Nation would be stunned if they go to the Super Bowl.
I think they have enough to get by this game. I would really, really not be overly optimistic for the next
game. Like I said, I am withholding any judgment I have of next week until I see this
I know,
team.
You wait till the season's over.
I'll tell you what, though, Paul, it would shape up a lot like the 06 playoffs when they went to San Diego for the divisional round with the Shoemakers at wide receiver.
Yeah, but you still had Troy Brown to make a play, a proven playmaker.
And you have that team is now, you know, has a couple of key members that were really playing in their first playoff game and didn't perform. I mean, I already thought of this for one of the stories for that extra page that we do for the preview.
Jackson in action?
Vincent Jackson, who had an absolutely miserable game that day.
Hi. Isn't that Bo's real first name?
Yes.
Vincent, yes.
Vincent Jackson?
That's why every time Vincent Paul says Bo Vincent Jackson. Jackson, I go, Bo? And he goes, no, the guy in the Chargers.
No, the real one.
Hey, Doc.
Now that's just wrong.
Sam from Brighton sends us an MP3. Why don't we listen to that?
I'll get it queued up. Give me a second.
All right. I got to go.
You got to go, Paul?
I do.
Losing the fat man, and we're running lean.
Isn't it one?
It is one.
Except Fred's still here.
It's exactly 1 o'clock. So you're going to the EEI.
The EEI.
I am.
Have you done a poll with them about whether you should shave your head?
No. You're naked.
Who's your co-host today?
I don't know.
Because last year, last week, it was
Larry
Johnson.
The voice of the fan.
Right? Yeah.
On the fan.
So maybe, you know, you'll be lucky this week. And
Steve Burton.
You'll be.
I don't think it's him.
Mike Schuster or something like that.
Does everyone know who that is? Or
all right, I gotta go.
All right, Paul's leaving.
Bye, Paul.
Before lunch, I might add. That's wow. They're gonna have food there for you. Paul?
Always.
He's
really? Really?
He's walking out.
EEI has like a buffet spread.
No,
they usually have some restaurants.
People send something in. Do they really get a plug?
Oh yeah. Are you ready now, Doc?
I was screening it, but yes.
I've listened to it already. That's why I knew it was okay. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. And Fred. I say and Fred because he's not one of the guys. He's the boss.
Man.
Anyways,
kiss
I was
ass.
Just wondering, if you had to lose one of our two superstar receivers, Randy Moss or Wes Welker, who would you rather lose? Because I know that I would rather lose Wes Welker.
Oh, my God.
Because I think Randy Moss, it's harder to replace. There's no one on our roster that can do the type of things that Moss does.
This guy calling from
run
a tin
deep
can.
Down the field and spread the
Speed
defense
up the
out. Go
today, Junior!
Field covering him. But I think Wes Welker.
I think he fell asleep.
There's a couple of guys on our roster that can do the type of things that Welker does. Maybe not as well, but at least close. Kevin Falk can do things similar to Wes Welker. And so Julian Edelman has similar skills to Wes Welker. But I don't think anyone has anything close to what Moss can do. So if we had to lose one, I'm glad it was Welker. And I was just wondering, how you guys felt about that. So, okay.
Yeah, you're right, Eric. It sounded like he was under oath while he was saying it.
Almighty.
But the prompter wasn't going. He had to pause for the prompter to catch up.
See the
it's
next
not
thing.
A bad question, though. If you had to lose Moss or Welker, which would you lose? And I agree with him. I think you can't replace Moss. He's unique.
Theoretically, the answer is Wes Welker.
Yeah. Right.
But practically, with everything that Moss is kind of, how he's kind of been up and down the last month, and
it's a tough question.
I still say Welker.
Yeah,
I'd
agree with him. I'd agree with him.
He hits the big plays. He scores touchdowns. He changes the defense. I mean, it's not an accident, and I heard Brian Billick say this on EEI this morning, that the two highest scoring offenses in the history of the league are the 1998 Vikings with
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. And the 2007 Patriots with Randy Moss in his first year in both places. So a resurgent, you know, defenses maybe didn't know exactly quite what to do, even to slow him, never mind stop him.
And even now, when he's had sort of an up-and-down year as far as pouting and playing and whatever, he still has the ability, if he's double-covered and you throw a bomb, to catch the ball.
Especially if he wants to.
Deep downfield in the end zone. He still can do it. He hasn't done it a lot, but he still can do it, and that's not something any of the other receivers on his team.
That's why his emotion is one of the keys to this game. Is he Randy Moss, cold weather, late in the season, sometimes his numbers aren't all there, or is he Randy Moss, throw the world on my shoulders, Wes is dead, but I'm going to be the Superman.
I think he's going to be the Superman this week.
You need him to be, because if he isn't,
you need
him
to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Nathan,
and just hope for penalties on the other team.
Nathan from Southern California says, I was listening to an interview from John Harbaugh, and a reporter asked if he was going to target Brady due to the injury that was reported on Sunday. And he responded with the politically correct answer, but what really irritated me was he smiled as soon as the topic was mentioned. It seemed like that was on his mind, and he couldn't wait to take a crack at Brady after the first game. I suspect that we may see the blitz-happy Ravens of old who want to get their money's worth if they get called for roughing the passer or lunging at the knees. What is our best way to shake off the dirty bird?
Well, wait a minute. Which injury are we talking about? Because he has a hurt shoulder, rib, finger, and theoretically a knee.
He mentioned them all.
But that's my point. No matter where you hit him, you got a good chance of hitting an injury. I think you always try to hit an opposing quarter. I mean, Peyton Manning, you try to hit him.
Especially
make him uncomfortable.
Pocket quarterback, you have to make him uncomfortable in the pocket.
That's not the same thing as we're going to cheap shot his knee and try to, you know, break his leg and take him out.
Right.
They're going to try to bang him, which I think I think the Patriots should try to hit Joe Flacco and make him uncomfortable.
Exactly.
As a young quarterback in just his second postseason, all that.
And he hasn't been playing all that great of late.
Now, I don't know if the smile had anything to do with the first game and getting penalized for barely touching him. If that's in play there, but I don't think John Harbaugh's, you know, putting a bounty on Tom Brady. I think they're going to try to hit him like you try to hit any good quarterback, as you should.
And that's been the MO of defenses who played this team for as long as Brady's been the quarterback here.
It's the MO of football.
Yeah.
What I mean, don't you think if Randy Moss is running a post pattern, they're going to try to hit him
right,
so that he doesn't want to do it again?
And
or if Julian Edelman try to hit him?
And if you don't believe that, look at the Patriots at Miami game in November, where Chad Henne had all the time in the world to throw, and that's what he did. If you get any pressure on him, he's not going to be effective.
Okay, so we got a little tweet war going on, started by strippers. He contacted the Globe, and
a tweet war.
Let's see. What's going on? Let me get this chronology here correct. Forsberg from ESPN said, with a hat tip to colleague Mike Reese, number 14 is indeed Robert Ortiz. He's back in the practice squad, and that was from Twitter. But Stripper says that Mike Reese sent Strippers a tweet that says, as usual, Eric is correct. The player is wide receiver Robert Ortiz as he joins the Patriots practice squad. So we don't know. I don't know exactly what came first.
We were right. We were first. Let's just run with it.
Sure.
Yeah, because Stripper says that you got shafted that, you know, by ESPN. They gave the credit to
Strippers tweeted Mike Reese and told him that it was Eric. I think if I read that right.
He did afterwards, though. He did afterwards.
Well, they were both out there. They could both report it. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't see Mike out there.
Was Forsberg out there?
Didn't see him out there either. I mean, he might have been. There was more media than usual, but
ESPN opened a Boston site specific.
No.
This region.
I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention to the reporters that were out there because we have such limited time.
I understand.
So
that's
he might
he
have been
the practice squad.
But usually, when Mike is out there, usually Mike comes up and says hello.
He's a very nice man.
So I didn't get that from Mike today. So I don't think he was out there because I think he would have said something to me. And I didn't
so
see the other guy, Forsberg or whatever. He might have been out there too, but he's a quiet type. He keeps to himself.
Seems a little artistic.
I know what that means.
A lot of people interested in Paul's
he likes
head.
Art. He's good at art.
Paul's head. Yes, he's going to shave.
Sarah says, first of all, you need to tell Paul to switch places with Mike Reese on All Access. The camera right behind his shiny head is not attractive. Have you noticed that since Belichick made the stats are for losers comment that he's brought up stats and rankings several times?
Yes, we've pointed that out to
Even
each other.
In defense of Moss, he was asked about his play this year, and Belichick brought up Moss's catches and how he ranked in yards. Was that comment just to get Moss going that week?
I don't know. But
Bill uses whatever tool is at his disposal for his specific purpose.
In the same press conference where he made that line, two questions later, Andy asked about, I forgot which quarterback it was,
it was Schaub.
Oh, Schaub. It was Schaub. And the first thing he says was, well, he's leading the league in passing yards, which is a stat.
He poo-poos one. It was like, or when I asked him for the identity, well, we're second in the league in scoring. I like that identity.
That's right.
That's a stat.
That's
a stat, too. I
mean. TG and NJ says, in regards to Tuesday show, Paulie, just wear a hat all the time. Andy's going to make fun of you no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
This isn't about me making fun of him.
Because that'll happen regardless of how he looks.
Paul is leaning towards shaving his head.
He is.
I don't think he should.
He should.
Why?
I think you should go get the plugs.
He's not going to get plugs. That's
He's
not an
not
option.
Get plugs.
The two options are stay as is or
plugs
shave
are
his head.
Stupid.
But he wants to continue his TV.
Yes, but that ends in a couple weeks anyway.
Yeah, but you know what?
Worst case scenario, it grows back.
You've seen more and more bald
Who?
Talent on TV. Who's the Van Pelt guy from ESPN?
Oh.
Completely bald.
True, but he's got a round head. Paul has like a skinny head.
Yeah, but.
And a round midsection.
It also looks weirder because he's got the, I think he's just try it in the offseason.
It's February. He does nothing in February. He doesn't go to the combine. Doesn't do anything.
Takes February
off. I
thought
about doing that, shaving my head.
Well, you're almost there anyway.
Practically.
So, yeah.
Thanks.
Bick it.
You'd have to do that more often. Use the blade. Use the blade.
Oh.
That's kind of like an every other day thing if you do that.
That would be kind of hard, wouldn't it?
If you get the electric clippers, it's only like once a week.
Get the electric clippers.
Yeah. No, but if you want to be smooth, you have to bick it. You have to shave it.
You do, but you have to do it more often is my point.
Oh, yeah, like every other day?
Every other day, pretty much.
Not everybody uses a bick. I'm sure plenty of people use your Gillette.
You think I could use the man?
Fred uses it for other places.
I was just thinking, if Paul really did that, would he look like Homer Simpson?
If he left the sides out.
Yeah.
And doesn't Homer have like one hair or something?
Something like that, yeah.
He kind of looks like Homer Simpson anyway.
Like Doc says two. No, he's got two.
He's a cross between Homer Simpson and, what's his name, George Martel?
Oh, stop.
Barbecue.
Right, Doc? Go on the record. He looks like George Martel.
Take the fifth.
So Mike Shanahan is getting that job?
He got that job.
To be introduced today. Okay.
Indeed.
Mike from Cheddar says, hey, guys, and Doc, Welker is gone. Put Hoyer in the game from the start and make sure Moss and Brady and all the other starters are rested for next season, as these are now pointless games with nothing to play for, so you might as well start preparing for next year.
That's kind of right.
Can people stop going overboard? Edelman will be useful, but he won't be Welker, and everyone will step up. This is talent-wise a similar team to the 0-1 team, but with a better quarterback and wide receiver, and yes, I know Brady was the quarterback back then. So under over for this Sunday, Brady 3.5 passing touchdowns.
Under.
Moss 1.5 receiving touchdowns.
Tell me if you win or lose.
You win.
Over.
Moss gets two. I'll go with over.
Team sacks 2.5.
Under.
Winning margin 3.5.
Under.
Oh.
Because it'll be negative.
Final thing, percentage that the following comes true. What percentage that this comes true? Edelman gets 12 receptions, 145 yards, and then proceeds in the post game to say that Welker isn't that great.
Zero.
Okay.
Funny. What is the number?
Oh, I don't know. Doc, any
Can
lines
you get
out
that,
yet?
Buddy?
What would you say, just off the top of your head?
Probably
it?
Three. Probably Patriots by three.
I'd say Patriots by four.
I'd say 4-2. I'd give that one more point.
Right.
Yep.
Plus they beat him earlier in the year, the whole thing. Patriots by 4. Doc, what do you got?
3.5.
Oh!
Bitch ass.
Right in the middle.
Did I say that?
Well, you just did, so.
All those words separately
we've said
are allowed.
That, I think we've said that before on the air, so okay. I think we're okay.
Well, we've said a lot of things.
I know, but.
That's not a good rule.
Yeah, but I think we're all right.
Somebody wants to know what we think the future is for Aiken, Lomo, and Slater next year.
Aiken
will
be back.
Here as your special teams captain.
Lomo
will be.
I'm not sure. I'd say less than 50% he's back.
I'd put him at about 52% to be back.
45.
And I think Slater will be here until he retires.
Which will be next year. Well, he's been here 2 more years than we expected, so. Can't really bet against him.
There were some quotes from him about stepping up today, and everybody's. If he's on the field a significant number of snaps,
oh, as
on
a wide
offense,
receiver,
yes.
Oh boy,
game set match.
No,
no offense to him. He's one of the nicest people in that
he
locker
is.
Room.
He really is.
But it just doesn't. He doesn't seem to put it together in the game. He runs down and he's fast and he's there and bad things happen more often than.
Although
good.
To his credit, he made a nice catch on he made a big play down to the 15 at Houston on that last drive that was called back from a penalty.
It was his first career catch, right?
No, I think he's had one other.
I thought it was
I think he had one catch. More. I think he had one in the last game, or I mean in the last season, but
I'm going to go to the videotape while Fred reads an email. Actually, I was going to go to the phone, but just before I go to the phone, you know, Bill Polian had his annual or weekly radio show.
Yeah.
And last
did he hang up on our
well,
leave callers?
The week before, they you know, cut it off short. This week, they also stream it online. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it online. It was just on the radio. So people outside of...
Blamed it on technical difficulties.
Sure, right. Yeah.
Convenient.
I don't buy it.
On the phone right now, 508-543-7482, is Brad from Baltimore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
What's up?
Actually on the Eastern Shore, but I email you guys occasionally.
Yeah, Pats fan or Ravens?
Oh, definitely Patriots.
Okay.
Lifelong, grew up in Maine. So, you guys used to mangle my name with Gary Tangway.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I do recall.
I have a coworker who is a season ticket holder to the Ravens, and he and I had a fairly lengthy discussion yesterday afternoon on what we thought the keys to the game were, and he openly admits that the last couple games he went to. Flacco is definitely not 100% either.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we have just as good an opportunity to go after him as they do to go after us.
Yeah, the only problem is I don't know if we get there.
Exactly.
Well, granted, I agree with your Derek Burgess comments and a few other things you guys brought up. But when you brought up the point several minutes ago now, the fact remains if our offensive line can hold up, even if we have to keep one tight end and a running back in, I honestly think their defensive secondary stinks enough that we can pick them apart.
It does.
Even if we have Ortiz, Standback, and Edelman out there, I think Brady can hit anybody.
Yeah, but
and
it might
they
bounce
can't
off.
Cover.
It might bounce off. I don't know if those guys can
it's
catch
not just,
enough passes in a row to have a long
well,
extended
and it's,
drive.
And it's not just true. A matter. It's not just a matter of their being able to catch the ball. It's a matter of them knowing the offense well enough to get open on every play, knowing the plays, knowing where to be, you know?
Even beyond that, I think they could know exactly what they're supposed to do. Brady will make a perfect throw. I don't know that you can count on those guys like you can count on Welker to catch. You know, he's had games this year where it's like 15 times thrown to him, 14 receptions, or 15 times 6. You know, he always catches it, and I don't have that faith in any of those guys. Maybe Edelman is getting there because he looked really good the other day, but... I mean, I know the secondary stinks, but your wide receivers aren't all that great right now after Moss.
No, but the key for us, because we both agreed it's not going to be a 6-3 game.
Right.
But we have to stop the running game.
Yes.
I mean, we've got to have 8 in the box. So is our secondary good enough to not give up 40-yard plays with only 3 in the backfield?
I think so. Against those receivers, I'm not afraid of their receivers.
But if we don't have 8 in the box, we're going to get creamed.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm more concerned about the running game. For the
Ravens. You should be.
I'm way more concerned about the
That's the strength of their offense.
That they're just going to hand the ball off, get these 8 to 10 minute drives, and kill the clock in the first half. They're going to get a little bit of a lead by halftime and then hold on to it in the second half. That's my concern.
Mine too, and that's what we both talked about. That I think my biggest concern not is not our offense, is can we stop Ray Rice and McGahee on a consistent basis.
Well,
when they're in third and two all the time, we're sunk. Right. We can't stop anybody on third and two all year. Why would we do it in the playoffs?
And that's why the Wilfork injury, and if he's obviously he's back practicing, but you know, can he hold up for an entire game and be Pro Bowl level Vince Wilfork?
Yeah, Wilfork and Warren are the key to that. In the past, you know, whenever it's been, we got to stop this team's run, the Patriots have been able to do that.
Yep.
You know,
but
so
we give up 40-yard bombs as a consequence.
Well,
at times, not always. I think they've played better in the secondary recently.
Since Jimmy Sanders came back.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's true. That coincides with that.
But, I mean, I'm also just – Derek Mason doesn't scare me. He's a possession-type receiver. He doesn't fear me. I mean, he doesn't bring a lot of fear to me down the field. We saw Mark Clayton. Both those guys have obviously had huge drops for them this year. Todd Heap in the middle of the field. I mean, I would say Rice might be the most feared weapon in all areas. I could see him taking a swing pass, you know, beating somebody to the corner and just – taking it to the house.
Exactly. Absolutely. He's the guy.
Yep.
You know, if you talk about the one guy you got to take away, it's got to be him.
Ray Rice, no question.
Well, I want to thank you guys for a great season. I listen to you 3 days a week. And I also want to throw out huge kudos to Doc. The sound effects and the one-line things that he has queued up off the cuff are awesome.
He'll have the check in the mail to you.
He's getting better. He's coming off his vacation week.
Thanks, Dad.
All righty. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Brian from Baltimore.
Tangway.
The
Tanger.
Bradley? From Baltimore.
What's that?
Just go with the Tanger.
Just keep going.
Tanger.
What does he like to be called, Brad?
Tanger.
You said Brian.
Who?
Tanger.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. How many breaks?
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto-reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they
that?
Take that field out now.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it too.
You
didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Hey, you know, it's you can't have a serious conversation around
with you here.
You know, everything is
double on top,
twisted.
Life in the lighter side. Have a little fun with it.
Bob writes in at webradio@patriots.com. I hear so much about Brady not being able to adjust because of the Welker loss. Let's get real. Brady threw for over 4,000 yards this season. He is in fine form. The receiver core in 09 is way better than the group of receivers in 01, and Tom has 9 more years of experience to handle changes in fortune. This problem is overblown. But what could be a major problem is the defensive backs. I don't have much faith in them. But having said that, I don't believe teams like the Jets, Panthers, or the Ravens, who rely mostly on a running game, can take advantage of that weakness and beat the Patriots, and for the same reason why the Chargers and the Colts pose such a major problem to the Pats. But I am not counting the Pats out. I never will until they are eliminated.
I agree this year's wide receivers are better than 01 because Randy Moss makes any group he's on ridiculously better. But the issue isn't. And for, you're taking away 1,350 of those yards you're promoting, those 4,000 yards. Wes Welker was the biggest chunk of that, your leading yardage receiver. But more importantly is, it was whoever's open back then. It was Jermaine Wiggins here and J.R. Redmond there. They've been playing a certain way this year, and that was 9 out of 10 throws either went to Moss or Welker. So you're changing the way you're doing it from what you've done all year. That's the concern. I'm not saying there's not enough talent on this offense to be good enough. Yeah. I don't know that it can be good enough within the course of a week.
Tom Brady was not the Tom Brady he became back in 01. And they won because he didn't make a lot of mistakes. But really they won because they were a very physical team back then. Are they as physical as they were back then?
I don't think the defense is as physical as good.
No. And some of the key guys, especially up front, Warren, Wilfork, have been banged up lately. And they're coming back now this week, it looks like. But how healed are they going to be?
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming back because it's a playoff game.
Plus, the other thing is, I mean, is Fred Taylor going to give you the good Antoine Smith performances? Right. We're going to pound it out, be physical, and Antoine Smith's going to carry the ball 25 times.
Got Elmo.
I'm not sure you will. I would count on Fred Taylor to maybe be the guy and Sammy Morris to be
the guy. I think they need to be physical. I think they need to get that back for the playoffs.
How come we're not down on Fred Taylor? And I'm not down on him, but that was a terrible fumble. I mean, you can't fumble there.
I know.
Yeah.
It happened.
That's more egregious than the other end.
Yeah, because it led
to at least they got to go 99 yards or whatever, or 80 yards.
It happens.
You gave them 7 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, how come we don't just say it happens with Lawrence
Because he's got a resume.
I was going to say, because it happens.
Because it's been happening.
It happens again, and happened again, and it happened.
If not for the fumble, we'd be, well, not maybe you, Andy, but most people in Patriots Nation would be, like, thrilled with what they've gotten out of Maroney this year.
No question. 3.9 a carry. I don't know how you could ask for anything
more.
Come on.
Eyeball test.
Right.
Look at some of the runs.
I'm like Belichick. I do the eyeball test when I want to. Other times I point to stats.
No, he's run well.
Both this year for me say Lawrence Maroney's been,
run well.
Oh, yuck.
Sam in Chicago, I'm sad we're getting down to the last few shows that can cover the week-to-week live Pats game.
I'm sad you haven't sent in an audio MP3 lately.
Eric,
you sound hot.
Eric, tuck in your sweater, stop artistically overthinking things, and look to Sunday with a smile.
Tuck in the sweater.
Your bottom of the Boston Harbor chance for the Patriots this Sunday could be a reason your artwork fails to meet your expectations.
Wait, who is this?
Have some faith. Enjoy the process. Let the results take care of themselves. A better story for you to chew on would be this Monday's headline, Wes Who, accompanied by a picture of Edelman with a catch in the end zone and a 27-17 Patriots win. Andy, stop spilling soda and yogurt on yourself. Spill it on the Ravens. Paul, shave it. Guys are much sexier with an all-or-nothing approach.
So are girls. Sam, shave it.
Oh,
Wow.
I'm sure she already does.
What? She didn't say what it
Same
was.
Same in Chicago?
Right, and I didn't say what it was either. Actually, go the all Brazilian.
That's what the little landing strip?
The real, no, everything, I believe, is a Brazilian.
Really?
Yeah. Wax job where they... Can you imagine if that was your job?
waxing people?
There. Waxing. Because, let's be honest, the women that come in, most of them are not going to be hot. So you're dealing with fat, hairy chicks.
Right.
Oh. Oh. I'm making myself nauseous.
Stop it.
What about men that get waxed? There are men who get waxed.
Where?
A lot of, like, swimmers do it. But other than that, like, you know, they get everything waxed.
But
the taint?
I've always wanted... I've always wondered, though.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say that.
I don't think so, Fred.
To wax, don't you need it to be, like, firm? Like certain areas of the male anatomy are not firm. There's a lot of movement and
softness. But there's not
softness.
Hair there.
Where?
What?
On the movement part.
No. I'm talking about the deflated... I don't even know how to say this without saying Patriots need more sacks this Sunday against
right. Yeah.
Is loose, and when you pull, wouldn't it like stretch way out and hurt like hell?
They have
it hurts to think
it.
About
they
it.
They use two hands.
Well. No.
No, they do.
True?
They do.
How do you know?
Please
tell me,
Fred.
How do you know?
I've seen it done.
Oh, how?
I know.
You know how I know you're gay?
Why have you seen it done?
Howard Stern. On the TV.
That's always gay. Every time I listen to that show with you,
it's true.
Gay radio.
They took one of the guys.
Richard Christie.
Richard Christie, and they waxed everything.
Well, I don't mind like 99% of it, but I think that would hurt like hell.
It did. He was screaming.
Oh, why would you do that?
It hurts to think about.
Yeah. I think he overdid it a little bit, but it hurts. It does hurt.
Yeah. So, Sam, let us know what your preference is in that area.
Wow. William Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, hasn't emailed in a while, the show anyway. I do see.
No, he sends it directly to us.
He says, ways to annoy Pelion. Some of these are for next year, but if the Patriots meet the Colts in the playoffs, maybe they can be used this year. The first one is farting. Make your route in and out to the bathroom and be in front of Bill Pelion. Excuse me, Pelion, whenever you pass him, fart. There are two strategies, different people in random events, you know first, Fred, then after a minute, Paul, then after a few minutes, Eric, etc. I assume John Rook is out of the rotation, but you may want to include people like Brian Lowe and Doc. Heck, maybe there are a bunch of interns. Strategy two is as you walk by, Andy says, I think that chili might affect my irritable bowel syndrome. Then he has an excuse for repeated running by Pelion and fart on his way to the bathroom. That would annoy me, too.
I don't know where Pelion is in the
he has
new
a new
stadium.
He used to be out in the press box, but now he's got a little padded room that he sits in. The second one is a taser. Give every intern
me,
a taser and have Fred make the following announcement. We are always concerned with the safety of our interns. This has nothing to do with Bill Pelion's history. Then Eric or somebody corrects him saying, it's Bill Pelion. Or Bill Pelion, then Fred can say, that's what I said, Bill Pelion. This can go on for a few minutes with, no. Pelion choked an intern, and that's what I said, Pelion. But Manning, Clark, and Wayne in the last game got 100 receptions because those are worth the risk? I don't know.
What's going on here?
It's just William Berry rambling. Yeah, and then Taser bumbling. 2 for Gillette. Interns have been warned about Pelion and Taser him whenever they feel threatened. If he stands up to use the bathroom at the half, an intern might feel threatened. An intern outside the room could hear the sound and go in to help. And when Pelion yells, you dumb blank, why did you taser me? He feels threatened himself. If Tacoma walks by and farts, any move by Pelion would mean he was going for a knife. I don't know. William, you are sick.
Just to reel it in just a little
bit. What the hell are you guys up to?
I don't know. You said, Eric... Obviously, it's playing out that you beat the Ravens, you have to go to San Diego, then you have to go to Indy. Mm. Say they rally. The emotional thing, you know, us against the world this week,
sure.
Beat the Ravens.
Right.
Okay. I can see that happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe I see them going to San Diego.
Only because
Philip Rivers gets over, zealous, gets pissy. Merriman and Phillips tank like they've tanked against the Patriots.
North Turner.
Yeah, and you pull it out there.
Okay.
I just don't see any way you go through... Baltimore, San Diego, Indy. I just
That some of that stretch to me is just.
What if somehow Indy's one and done?
Okay. And then they end up hosting Cincinnati in the
here.
So that'd be your best hope.
Well, it could be.
That would be your very best hope.
Yeah.
The Jets could beat the Bengals, beat
Cincinnati.
Either way, if Colts are out and we beat San Diego, the AFC Championship's at Gillette Stadium.
It's at Gillette Stadium. That's right.
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 No, I'm just looking at the theory because that would be a great story.
Your
because
best
the
case,
two teams that laid down for the Jets would then get beat by the Jets and Jets and Patriots. And
your best case scenario would be to host, I think, the Bengals in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, I don't care. Jets or Bengals doesn't matter to me.
Well, but I think the Jets have a better defense.
They certainly do.
And running game.
Yep.
So I would say
the Jets theoretically have everything everybody likes to say wins championship. You have a great running game and a great defense.
But
they don't have a quarterback.
This is a passing league.
I know. That's why I said theoretically.
Yeah. But the way the Bengals have played in this last stretch, I know they tanked against the Jets.
I think they're going to lose to the Jets.
At home this weekend?
Yes.
Maybe.
I'm picking the Jets.
I think they'll rally for that. But I could see them, if they do that, I could see them going to Indianapolis and beating an Indy team that's been, you know, basically out of it for the last month.
Yeah.
And I think that's your best hope. I think that's your best hope if New England gets to host the AFC Championship.
Somehow we got to get a Cameron Paulian for that game because he is going to be going berserk.
You need to worry about your own ducks right now.
Right.
Is what you need to worry about.
Got to worry about getting past Baltimore.
You don't worry about the Colts getting knocked off. You worry about knocking off the Ravens
That's
and
right.
then fight another week.
That's right.
TG and NJ, we were talking about comeback player of the year. Brady won it, the AP comeback player of the year.
19 votes, five more than Carnell Cadillac
Williams. How about next year, Wes Welker? Are his chances better for coming back sooner than later next season because it wasn't a collision injury?
No.
He wasn't hit. He lost his footing. It wasn't a tackle. Wouldn't it have been worse if he was hit?
Not necessarily.
No, not really.
Are there degrees of ACL strain,
Yeah, but
tears?
This was a full tear.
This was a full.
The question is
we know that? How do you know?
Well,
from
it's
the
been reported.
Reports that we've read.
Jason LaCanfora.
Full tear, he said?
Yes. And the question is the MRI on the MCL, how long do they have to wait for that to heal? Because usually that heals first. That was kind of one of the weird parts of the Brady surgery is they repaired his MCL, and that led to an infection. Mm. I really find it hard to believe that he will step on the field before week 7 of next year.
Me too.
I will be absolutely stunned.
The thing about it is,
me too.
You know, I guess running backs have come back from this too.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
But a guy like him that cuts.
Right. The lateral movement.
It's different than a quarterback.
Plus, you know? I don't know that he'll probably play with it, but the brace is going to be an issue too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The lateral movement wearing that large brace, right. The Don Joy that everybody wears, Brady wear. It's okay for the stiff. Brady was a stiff before he was hurt. He's a stiff now.
Right.
He was never getting anywhere with, you know, his athleticism. Welker's very different. And let's look at another guy. Brandon Tate had the same injury earlier.
Right.
Had it in late October, early November,
late October.
To close out near the end of their season. When did he come?
Yeah.
After PUP and immediately got hurt.
It took him about a year.
Right. So I just find it hard to believe that Welker is going to get out there.
I think it would be
PUP.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be
PUP.
And
I think that's best case scenario. He comes back off of PUP.
Well, first of all, we don't know when the surgery is going to be. How long they have to wait for the MCL. That can be a couple weeks, a month.
Right.
You would think
so now
sometime in January
surgery,
he has it.
I would imagine. My guess would be early February is a good chance. But
when did Brady have his? Because that was the first weekend of second weekend of September.
Well, that
last
was different.
Year.
They repaired his MCL,
right?
Which is why he got an infection, which is why he had a setback, which is why everybody was pissed.
He also waited like a little while.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know the exact waiting period, but it deals with the swelling and the MCL healing are the two issues that deal with.
I think very, very best case rosy scenario is he comes back in October of next year. But
as
I think
Wes
that's,
Welker. I think there's a chance he'll never be the same player. I really do.
I
don't want to be negative
really
and doomsday Andy, but. And if you remember, I didn't think Brady would be hindered long term.
No, you thought it was no big deal.
Right. But that's the difference between the positions, the
right,
athletic.
Yeah.
If he loses a half a step of quickness,
right.
It's over.
Yeah.
He's getting kill shots left and right all day long.
Right.
And I have my fears he'll never be the same, that his 120 catch season days
and you know what?
Are bad.
We saw him on the sideline reacting,
he
heading his
so
hands,
too.
Throwing the towel down. I think he realized that. Not only was it hurting pain-wise, I think he realized how much it's going to affect his career going forward.
These guys know. They know.
And I think I'm kind of writing this in my commentary, but I think what hurts even more for him, he would understand it if
Troy Polamalu took his head off. If so, he just made a cut, the same cut he's made
damn field
10,000 times in his life.
Man.
And it just, I really would like to have, like, a, it would be a kinesiology doctor or whatever, like, that study the body mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why. Why does he do that cut 7,000 times in the 7,001st? The physics of the, you know, the pressures and the torques and the this, and it just blows up.
Just freaky.
Another,
I really find it nauseating.
Talking, getting back to another procedure, medical. Jason
procedure
from
medical.
Ireland, living in Barcelona, about the male waxing. He says, I believe it's called back, sack, and crack.
Oh,
though I have
God.
No personal experience.
Sure you don't.
Yeah, right.
That's
living
the
in Madrid.
Other thing. It's not just the sack, it's the crack.
You know, not only do people
what
get that
people
waxed.
Have poop on their butt?
The porno people get it bleached.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They're cornhole.
Yeah.
Bleached.
They bleach it.
Oh.
So they that, do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cornhole?
Right.
Thanks, Christina.
Oh, boy.
That was the worst thing she's
that
ever
said.
That
was an evil laugh you just had right there, Fred. How did you get her to say that, Doc?
I think she meant to say corn dog.
No, she was playing the game where you
yeah,
throw
she
it.
She said it on Shop Talk.
How did you get her to say it, though?
She said it on her own.
She
was looking for the name of the game, and is it cornhole? She said. I'm surprised Strippers hasn't chimed in. I would think he's very. Got a lot of
waxing?
Not
no,
just himself, but all his employees.
Yes, indeed.
I bet you he's a waxer. Strippers, chime in. I bet you've been waxed all over.
Let's see. Ollie writes in, and he's in London. Let me start this by saying Welker has had a great season, but I'm going to put it out there about his importance to this team and his play with Brady. Overrated.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Wow. All
here
the Paul Perillos have been here lying in the weeds, apparently. They've been fighting with him for years, and now that he goes down, he's
yeah.
overrated.
Oh, no
he's
big deal.
Change.
Yeah, he's no big deal.
No
he
great
was
loss.
Supposed to be the go-to guy and man to get the ball at key times, and how come we couldn't keep the ball when we really needed to? Denver. Driving to win the game. Indy, a couple first downs
that,
to ice the game.
Hold on. The Denver game, you're talking about where Brady underthrew him and the ball hit him in the
that's
heel?
One play, yep.
That's not Welker's fault.
Yep. Well, Miami, 50 yards
he
for
took
field
the
goal for, to
but
win
that
the
wasn't
game.
His fault.
See a trend when we really needed them to get it done, they couldn't. It didn't happen with Welker there, and maybe, just maybe, we can change it around this week with a change in emphasis and strategy. Let's see if Brady spreads the ball around more.
Are we now spinning this that this is a good thing? That all the troubles and the failures to close games were Wes Welker's fault, and they're going to be better.
That's insanity.
Because of
well,
the loss
I,
of him?
I have
That's
heard
ridiculous.
Some people float that. Look, you know, it's not they're trying not to downplay Welker, but by saying, "Hey, you know, maybe this could force the Patriots to change the emphasis on offense, and maybe that could be a good thing."
It's not going to be a good thing not having Wes Welker in the lineup. I'm sorry.
Was it a good thing when Tom Brady wasn't in the lineup?
Well, that's a lot different. The quarterback position's a lot different. Can't compare.
They won more games.
Can't compare.
It's you know? it's ludicrous to think that they're going to be better on offense without 83. I'm sorry.
I appreciate the effort by all these fans to rally the spirits and come up with theories, but I just don't see it.
This is a three-receiver offense.
Hold on.
That's going to be Moss, Edelman, and
yeah.
Aiken, I guess. A quarterback, a special teamer, and a guy who doesn't like to play in the cold and his production goes down in January.
And this is the same Wes Welker that people, fans have been writing into SPFW asking us for weeks now, is this the best season he's ever had? Is he an NFL
Pro Football Hall of Famer?
And you're telling me it's no big deal that he goes down?
And we're not ranting at you, Ollie, just you. There's a groundswell of support to start tearing down Wes Welker now that he's
injured. I'm not buying it.
But this does affect some things.
Oh, sure it does, but...
I mean, well, I guess
to
not.
To say that they're going to be better without him?
No, I'm just thinking long term, you have Edelman, so I guess you don't have to really change your thoughts on if you think he can be the slot guy in this offense.
It's just, it's amazing.
Changes like that, Eric.
It's sickening.
Rich has an email to Eric.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, because it's to you.
Why do you do the weird eye?
That's what I'm saying. He's looking at me weird.
Give him the stink eye.
Ugh.
Since we're unable to ascertain what your expectation is of this team, we're also unable to understand exactly how it has failed you.
Who is the we?
We know that misery loves company and that Andy loves you.
this guy's a clown.
When the Colts beat us this year, do you believe that it meant nothing to them? Do you believe that they do not cherish that experience today as being remarkable? Those guys were lit up like the 4th of July. They gave everything they had in that game, and they are our best competition every year. That was a special game. No one is accusing the Colts of being intelligent or anything, but why would it mean so much to them? They remember every play in that game, and so do we. You speak as though everyone showed up and no one played in the game for our team. It was a great game. Wouldn't it be nice to play against them every week? You know that it's impossible to beat us twice. Wasn't it you that suggested you would rather play the Colts first because we have something to avenge there? It could have been Andy. Did you say
who
that?
Is he, why is he talking about the Colts?
He's talking to you.
We're playing the Ravens.
Yeah, he's talking to you.
But we're playing the Ravens this week.
He's leading up to something, I think.
Well, you better get to the point.
You know how much the Ravens like their chances.
Today, Junior.
Dick.
Wow. What?
Isn't that his name?
No, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Dick, you know.
You know how much the Ravens like their chances, and yet you insist on pretending you're stupid just in case you're right. They've never beat us.
What is
us.
He talking about?
Is he talking to you again? Or
I don't know.
This is to Eric. They've never beat us. I'm not guaranteeing victory, but you're guaranteeing loss. With their life on the line, they were able to beat Oakland by one score and now get to play their third straight road game in effing Foxborough. You know exactly what is going through the minds of Ravens fans right now. No, wait. Hi, Ravens fans. I'm Eric. You don't have to worry about going into Foxborough in January. Patriots are blank now. They really suck. I'm kind of surprised you guys lost to them. But anyway, I'll tell you how to beat them. They've got no nose tackle, no quarterback, and no corners. You should have your way with them real easy. Their coach is in...
Who said they had no quarterback? This guy's an idiot, Fred. Why are you reading this?
Their coach is in territory so unfamiliar that perhaps you should prepare to rest some of your starters for the real game the following week. I'm only still here because, well, frankly, they're still good to me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm still pissed on the Patriots flag on my way to work this morning, and I get a free lunch. But so far, the only job offer I have gotten was from Buffalo, and they've beaten the Patriots only once in 18 tries. But the Patriots are still blank, though, and if the ship ever sinks, I'll be way ahead of the curve. I mean, you know, when the ship sinks. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, thank you, Doc. This is an even worse rambling, idiotic, stupid email than William Berry's.
I kind of like it. One last question.
That's because you're rambling, stupid,
and an
idiot.
There wasn't a question in there.
There was no question in there.
One last question. When the NFL suggests that the Patriots finished third in the conference, did you believe them?
Fred.
Do you actually have access to some higher intelligence that can only be accessed through Andy's ring?
I have a ring.
Andy's ring.
Next topic.
Wow.
See, I don't understand any of this email. Move on to something coherent.
I think what his point is that there's no reason.
Yeah, he's got his panties in a bunch because I've given up on the
team.
There's
no reason to say they don't have a chance.
So we're not allowed to have opinions anymore on the show.
Well, he doesn't like yours.
Ding, ding.
You're still allowed to have them, whether or not you agree
with them.
You're
allowed to have them, but he's allowed to disagree, right? And he's allowed to give his reasons for disagreeing with you, correct?
He's saying that I shouldn't have the opinion that I have.
He's wondering where you get it from.
Logic, reason, looking at the facts.
In 2001, that same logic would have said they had no chance to win the Super Bowl. I think that's his point.
Yeah, but he was using the same logic against him. Because the Ravens have never won, they can't win here.
Right.
They're 0-5 against the Patriots.
No, but isn't that one reason to be optimistic?
No.
A little bit?
History means nothing. It's about this team this year. If I've learned anything from Bill Belichick, it's about what you do this Sunday and what we think they're going to do based on recent history, the way the team has played with the 53 guys that are going to be out there.
So experience doesn't help?
If they had any, they'd have it.
Belichick has no experience. Brady has no experience.
Yes, he has plenty of experience.
Well, Kevin Falk has no experience.
Ray Lewis has no experience. Derek Mason has no experience.
Belichick said today when a reporter asked him, you know, Joe Flacco, young quarterback, how much does experience matter for a playoff quarterback as young as Joe Flacco? Bill paused for a second and then said, well, it didn't matter in 2001.
Well, what do you think?
And it didn't matter last year when Flacco took him to the AFC Championship.
So you're
game.
Agreeing that experience doesn't matter?
But, Fred, are we saying they're going to
lose? What do you think? What do you think?
I think it matters in some cases.
So we're saying they're going to lose because Tom Brady's going to make a mistake because he's inexperienced. No. We're saying he's going to lose because his number one receiver, the guy who caught 123 balls in 12 games, is not going to be out there.
All right. So what are you going to say when they win?
I'm going to say they won.
I'm going to say, yeah, good job. Congratulations. You're going to lose in San
All
Diego
All I know
this
is Patriots
week.
Fans are banking on the Ravens losing because they have too many penalties. If that's really how you want to go into a game and look at it, that's fine. Go with it, Fred.
This is not the talent-laden 2003 or 14.
They didn't.
Or why did Oakland keep it close? Why did they lose seven games?
Has Oakland played well down the stretch? Have they kept it close with everyone? Have they won games?
Yes.
And did the Ravens just run the football down their throat?
Yes.
The answer is yes to all these questions. The one legitimate concern was Derek Mason, who's their top receiver theoretically, was matched up with Nnamdi Asamoah,
who's pretty good,
who took him away,
right.
And Joe Flacco did not respond well.
Yeah.
And Asamoah's not pretty good. He's considered one of the elite corners in the game. Do we have an elite corner that's just going to take Derek Mason away?
Look,
no.
Do we? It's a question.
So are the Ravens better than the Patriots?
I think they are now.
We think they are for this game.
Sorry, the Raiders. I meant the Raiders.
No, they're not.
Okay, but they were within one score of winning that game.
And did I just explain the matchup to you?
Despite the fact that the Ravens ran the ball down their throat, they were one score away.
Isn't that what usually happens if a team focuses on running the ball?
You know,
isn't that just what happens usually? It's how the Dolphins lose games to the Colts.
Without a Tom
they run it
Brady,
down. They run it for 300 yards and the Colts make a play.
Without a Randy Moss, they were one score away.
Yeah.
The Patriots do have Randy Moss.
Yeah.
They do have Tom Brady.
Uh-huh. It didn't help them when they gave up a two-touchdown lead against
the Texans.
They had
those guys all year on the field.
Exactly.
And they lost.
I think the Patriots are remarkably better than the Raiders.
I wouldn't say remarkably better.
I'm not sure remarkably is the word.
They're better.
If you put Tom Brady on the Raiders,
guys,
I'm not sure.
You guys have really jumped off the ship.
Fred, we're looking at the facts. The facts are this is not a good team.
The facts are they're 10-6 in the AFC and the number 3 seed.
They're lucky to be there.
Okay.
With the team, the talent that they have. They're lucky to be there.
And you're saying the Ravens are unlucky to be the number 6 seed.
Yes.
Well, was there some luck involved?
So why is it bad luck? Why is it bad luck for the Ravens and just good luck for the Patriots? Have the Patriots had no bad luck this year? They've overcome the bad luck. The Ravens didn't to the same degree that the Patriots. That's why they're the number 6 seed and the Patriots are the number 3 seed. You throw out everything good.
Didn't he just say luck?
Yes.
I think he just said luck was the reason.
No, but you throw out everything good that the Patriots did. And that doesn't matter, but everything bad that the Ravens did, you throw that out,
Fred,
and that does matter.
Fred, I'm looking at this season as a whole. And as a whole, we talked about trying to...
You're too close to the Patriots. If you were covering the Ravens on a day-to-day basis, you'd have the same misgivings about that team because you know all their warts.
You would know it under a microscope. Sure.
So you have to step back.
I have stepped back.
You have to step back.
That's why I've come to the opinion that I've come.
But
to.
Fred, isn't there a big issue here named Wes Welker? You just said everything good they did,
Absolutely.
You throw out. Well, a portion of the good they did over the season, you throw out because it was Wes Welker.
And I also think that the Ravens have been decimated in their secondary
by sucky corners. They've lost sucky corners,
and
so now they're suckier.
That counts.
If we
too.
Lost Julian Edelman, I'd say the same theory. Okay, they lost a sucky receiver and a sucky corner, and who knows?
Are you happy with the best receiver on the team? Let me just break it down for you. This is how I've come to the conclusion. Are you happy with the Patriots' pass rush this year overall? Their ability to get to opposing quarterbacks.
No, could be better.
Are you happy with the, excuse me, with the play in your
but,
ass?
But again,
now?
But again, he's going to
speak. No, let the man.
No, but listen,
he never speaks on the show. Let him speak.
All he's going to do is point out all the warts in the Patriots, which are many.
And you come back with the warts on the Ravens.
Which
give
is,
him his chance.
Oh my
you
God.
Can cross-examine.
And with those warts, the Patriots are 10-6 in the number 3 seed.
Yeah.
Right? And the Ravens are 9-7 in the number 6 seed.
Sure.
And why is that?
Because
there's a one-game difference, right?
You know?
And which one game was that?
And
the Ravens
just
game.
Give me a question. Which
the Ravens game in week four.
Did Mark Clayton have a ball bounce off his chest in the red zone with 35 seconds to go?
Yes.
No further questions. Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that part of winning the game, making plays when you have to?
Yes.
Yeah, but the Patriots didn't make the play. The Ravens failed to make the play.
Is part of the game asking for roughing the passer and the official gives it to you?
Again, because
so that's my one-game difference.
Can I finish my line of questioning?
Again, it's all the bad things that happened. The other team are the reasons why they should be better than the Patriots. But when you don't think bad things have happened to the Patriots this year
all
that
year.
They overcome
all year,
of course,
right?
So, but you know, would it be you know wrong for another team to say, well, you know, if it wasn't for this,
but Fred,
then this would have happened. You're falling into the same.
No, I'm not.
No,
Fred, wait. Can I just ask one question? And you two can get back to it because
right.
I love these arguments. When Paul leaves, these are great.
Which well, Craig's team, on the Fred? Phone. We want to get to him.
Oh,
too.
We don't need to get.
No, he's gone. Which team?
Oh, okay. Craig's gone.
Is going to enter Sunday's game closest to its. I don't want to use the word identity, but what it was all season: the Patriots or the Ravens.
I don't know the identity of either team.
Wes Welker.
Been inconsistent.
We said all year that this team was about Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and Tom Brady, and you're going in without Wes Welker.
Look.
You didn't remove Ray Lewis. You didn't remove Ray Rice. You didn't remove Joe Flacco. You didn't remove Derek Mason. You didn't remove Haloti Ngata. You didn't remove Terrell Suggs. The identity of their team that was good is
all
going to be
on the field
still there. On Sunday.
All their playmakers
one
are still
guy,
there.
But wait a minute.
The guy
we
said
removed
you,
one guy.
We removed... Hasn't the Ravens' defense not been what it has been in the past this
But
year?
They still have a core.
It's still ranked. You want to go by rankings.
Hey, Fred.
It's a top five defense or whatever it is.
Fred, I will take the Ravens' defense on this team over this team any day.
What about the offense?
At this point, I'll take the Ravens' offense because
I think it's debatable, Fred.
It's very debatable. They have a more consistent running game. They have a decent quarterback. They don't have great receivers overall. But all the New England has now is Randy Moss, who's going to be double and triple teamed.
No, that's not all they have.
At wide receiver?
At wide receiver, but they still have a running game. They still have a good offensive line.
I'll take Ray Rice and Willis McGahee over what we have right now.
Well, we'll see, but I'm telling you, Eric, when the Patriots win, what are you going to say?
I'll say, great, good for them. You're going to lose in San
Diego
this week.
Give me a reason why the Patriots – you're going to say, well, they wouldn't have won, but Mason dropped a ball here or they had a penalty
Not necessarily,
there. That's who the Ravens are,
Not
Eric.
Necessarily.
That's true. All those things that you say, well, if not these things happen, that's what makes up the Ravens this year. That's why they're not better than they are. It's because they have those penalties. It's because they drop balls. That's why they are where
they are. Okay, so you're fixating on their negatives, too.
Exactly. And I think when you add them all up and you add up the positives and the coaching and the home field, Patriots win.
So you're on board with irrelevant because with Wes Welker, they barely beat him. They lost Wes Welker. They're going to beat him?
I'm saying... saying
Wes Welker was a dime a dozen loose change.
Wes Welker.
Thanks for playing, Wes. Everybody who propped you up for the last 3 years was apparently just blowing smoke up your butt.
All right, Wes Welker had just come off injury. That team was not nearly as good as they are right now.
Which team?
Which team?
The Patriots back then.
This Patriots team is not as good now as they
were
in week four?
No, they're better than they were in week four.
I disagree.
Really?
Yes.
The offense is better?
Worse now than it was in week four. They don't have Wes Welker.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't know.
So they're better. Wes Welker fan.
They're better without Wes Welker, is what you're saying.
I'm saying we don't know what's going to happen without Wes Welker. But as far as the offense has evolved to this point, we don't know what the effect of Wes Welker will be until we see it. We haven't seen it yet. But the team, the Patriots team, in Week 18 is a better team than it was in Week 4. Yes or no?
I disagree. No,
defense
they're not.
Isn't better.
No.
Oh, boy. See, now you're being unreasonable.
Oh, I'm being unreasonable because...
They just gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Doing all kinds of different things and personnel-wise on defense.
They gave up all kinds of different things and personnel-wise all year.
They gave up double-digit points in the second half against the
Wouldn't
Dolphins.
Would they have given up 21 with
See,
Warren
he
and Wilfork
He keeps talking.
There?
He doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to listen.
Come on.
I don't
Let's
know.
Be reasonable.
I don't know. Do I think that
the Again, I'll ask you the question.
Would have attacked them the same
he won't
way.
Listen.
He won't. He asks questions.
I'll ask the question again.
Oh, my God.
Assuming Wilfork and Warren is
We're being unreasonable because the team sucks on the road and gives up double-digit leads in the fourth quarter.
Assuming Wilfork – well, they're not on the road this week. But
I know, but that doesn't mean that the problem still isn't there.
Assuming Wilfork and Warren are back, this team is not a better defense than it was in week four. They haven't corrected a lot of the problems.
In week four, Fred, they weren't giving up double-digit leads in the fourth quarter.
Well, they were just starting out, Eric. We didn't know that trend until it happened.
In the first eight
and
games
it's
of
happened
the season,
the last 2 weeks.
I mean,
it happened in
Jets.
Buffalo. It happened in.
Yes, do you want to answer the question or not?
Right?
Do you want me to answer the question or not?
You didn't answer it.
Give you the answer you wanted.
In the first eight games going up, or first seven games going up to the bye week. They were a decent defense, and I thought, you know what? This team is starting to come together. After the bye week, they've consistently failed to get it done in the fourth quarter.
They consistently...
What do you mean, no? Yes, they have.
Eric, that trend started well before the second half of the season.
They didn't give up double-digit leads in the first half of the season,
Eric,
Fred.
The defensive problems, the secondary has gotten better since week four. There's no denying that.
The defense as a whole, Fred.
Gerard
we're talking
Mayo
about the defense
was just coming
as a
off
whole.
An injury. Wes Welker was just coming off an injury. You know,
now Wes Welker's gone. Are you telling me you're confident that this defense can maintain a double-digit lead in the second half against anybody?
At home? Yeah, absolutely.
Therein
you
lies
know
your
how
problem.
I was going to answer.
Therein lies your problem. Oh, at home? Yeah.
Well, this
that
would,
means they're not a good defense.
I'm talking about this week, Eric. Are they going to beat the Ravens? Yes, they are.
Oh, did they stop the Ravens the first time, or did the Ravens stop themselves?
We don't know. I mean, that play would have gone for a first down and extended the drive. We don't know what it
would have
happened.
Been inside the 10.
What were they doing?
Driving, marching down the field for another example of this defense doing what it did all
but
year.
But we're talking about the Ravens, okay? That's what
I
the
just
Ravens
talked about the Ravens.
We're talking about – but that's what they do. That's what has stopped them. The failure, just like the Patriots – sometimes to keep up, to make the big play when they need to.
So you're telling
me. That's who we're playing this week.
So you're telling me.
That's why I think we're going to win. Ask
me
next week about the Chargers.
16 games of what the Patriots are, or 13, included Wes Welker. That's the biggest change here in your little head-to-head 9-7, 10-6 measurement.
We don't know the effect of Wes Welker.
But you think they'll be as good.
They're not going to be better.
And I also think,
you think they'll be as good.
As a team, I think the Patriots are better than they were in week four.
I disagree.
I
just think. Then you have
Brady
totally
had all the rust knocked off, all these.
Don't ever make fun of Paul Perillo again for downgrading Wes Welker, because you think the team's better without him.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You just said that for 20 minutes.
You've been saying it for the past 20 minutes.
Everybody talking about all the rust that Brady had early in the season.
Yeah.
He's not better than he
was
back then.
You know, all the rust when he was Offensive Player of the Week with the comeback against the Bills.
Exactly.
He was so rusty.
Well, so was he
that
not?
That was a media concoction.
We weren't convinced that he was going to have
early
that.
In the season.
I don't know. He's more injured. I know that. I know that for a fact.
Actually, he's actually better than he was in the middle of the season as far as
injuries. I don't know that. How do you know that? He says he is. Charlie Castle says he has three broken ribs.
Okay. Who's more wrong than Charlie Castle?
Who do I think has a reason to lie?
Meteorologist.
Come on, Fred.
Now he's pinning his.
Come on, Fred. Who do I think has a reason to lie?
What?
How many times has Tom Brady had surgery in February and we find out he was injured?
No,
wouldn't play in the postseason had there been one.
Come on what, Eric? Come on what?
Now you're being disingenuous.
You are. You are being a little
bit. We know Tom Brady has had injuries that they've later said he would not have played in the next game.
But right now, he says he feels better than he has all season.
Oh, are you buying that?
And Lou Holtz told me how good IUPUI was every time they played him.
Are you really buying that?
Yes, I am.
Oh, come on.
Yes, I am. Do you think his play has been affected by injury in the last two games?
The last two games.
Not against the Jaguars.
Okay.
Can't blame those two incompletions.
Okay, so something happened between then and...
I think he kills the Jaguars. That's a game that I throw out.
Okay.
But the last two games against them, he's been lucky in these last two games that he hasn't really been hit.
Well, that has nothing to do with it, Eric.
With broken ribs. It has nothing to do with it. The fact that he has broken ribs and a broken finger.
Did he look injured last game? He got hit all over the place.
He got hit a few times, but the thing is,
come on, be honest.
I am being honest, Fred. I don't think this is a better team now than it was in week four.
Okay.
That's your main premise, right?
Well, I think they are. I think the Patriots are a better team than week four. I would hope they would be.
So they're better without Wes Welker. That's the bottom line.
Are they better with a full slate of running backs?
They're better without Wes Welker.
Hey, Fred.
No.
Who's this?
I don't know. Oh,
it's John from your mother's basement.
Yeah.
Ooh, your mother's.
Wow.
Wow. Nice, John.
Hey,
all right.
Just, you know.
John wouldn't say that if he knew what was going on.
You never know, Fred. You never know. Hey, the conversation has been very, very good, I have to admit. The argument's been very good. You guys have filled in admirably, you know, picking up where Paul would leave off. The one thing, and actually both sides make very good arguments here, but the bottom line is you have to – you have to put the game aside and put the two teams aside for a second and take a deep whiff and tell me how this game smells to you.
Stinky.
I love it because they're at home. I believe in, you know.
Fred, you're totally and completely discounting the absence of Welker in this lineup.
You are.
You really are.
And I thought you were as big a Wes Welker fan as there was.
I am, personally. I love Wes Welker.
I'm not, I think he's a huge loss.
Well, he is a huge loss.
I am a fan, but I'm not the biggest.
It doesn't mean that this team can't win the game. But, I mean, even the most optimistic optimist has to realize that the Patriots' chances to win and advance have taken a severe blow.
Seriously.
I think they can overcome the loss of Welker. I'm sorry.
They might.
They're playing the Ravens.
They might, but you have to recognize the fact that they're not as good as they were even a week ago. You have to, Fred, because they don't have Wes Welker. I'm not discounting Julian Edelman. I'm not discounting Tom Brady. And by the way, you really believe Brady, who says he's feeling fine?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, he would say that if his leg were hanging off. He did that, I believe, almost 2 years ago when his leg was hanging off.
I'm looking at him playing. Do you see injury the last 2 weeks?
I can't see broken ribs.
I mean, do you see him getting up slowly?
I cringe every time he gets hit.
He hasn't been hit. That's the one thing.
Wait, John, did you watch the game last week?
I watched
Did you watch the game?
The entire replay on NFL
Network. Did you see him get his butt kicked all over the place?
John, hold on for 1 second. Fred, let me ask you this. Do you not cringe every time, knowing what you know now about Brady being on the injury report, do you not cringe every time anybody gets near him?
No, but when he gets hit, I do, sure.
That's my point. When someone makes contact with him, do you not cringe and think, oh, this could be the play where he's knocked out again?
Of course.
That's my point.
That's how close they are to ultimate failure.
But not because of prior injuries, just because he's my quarterback.
But because knowing that he's as banged up as he is now, anybody that comes near him now, I take a deep breath because I think this could be the play where he gets knocked out again.
You take a deep breath when it snows, you know.
Oh, sorry. You know what? Now I understand why Paul gets so mad at him, because
he's
an idiot. Possibly have any other contrary opinion,
right.
Or else you're a fool.
Listen, Brady is in good health right now.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he is.
He's in good health. Such naivete.
Absolutely.
Fred, I've got swampland I can sell you in Florida now if you're buying.
I have oceanfront property in Arizona I got, too.
No. The problem hasn't been Brady. The problem
saying he's a problem.
It changes the argument every 30
seconds.
We
never said he was a problem.
Brady,
the problem is you don't have Wes Welker.
Brady is better now than he was in week four.
But he's not healthier. That's a problem.
He's better now than he was in week four.
He's not healthier.
He had the best training camp you've ever seen. So this is the best Brady's ever been.
Well, the big injury happened in the Miami game. So obviously,
that's not what reports are necessarily.
I don't care what the reports say.
Okay.
I don't care what the reports say.
Okay.
So.
I'm glad, actually, that you guys, that Andy and Eric are there to counterbalance Fred, because obviously, it's one thing to be a fan and it's one thing to be knowledgeable.
There's no one on this radio, Patriots.com radio, that thinks the Patriots are going to win except Paul for once.
Paul and you, and then Andy and I. That's half and half.
We're split.
Yeah.
Half and half.
So balance me. I mean, I have to balance these guys.
What are you talking about? We just said there's two of us and two of you.
Paul's not here, Eric.
But he agrees with you.
Paul is not walking through that door.
Right. Paul's on the big show.
It's split two and two here.
Yes.
Right?
It's a nice balance.
Okay. That's a good balance. I mean, it's actually somewhat heartwarming to know that not everybody here is a Patriots apologist.
Right.
Why am I a... that is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard.
Come on, John. Good job.
The Patriots are the number 3 seed in the AFC East, and now I have to apologize for that.
That's by pure and total luck.
John's right.
Oh my God.
John is right. John's absolutely right.
But beyond that, even if you think it's where they belong, that whole record was built with Wes Welker.
That's what it is this year.
That's absolutely 110. No, it isn't.
What it was this year with Wes Welker was 10-6. I remember going
into the greatest show on turf with...
Oh, is this really what you're going to hang your hat on?
And somehow
we
the
once
Patriots,
rallied and stepped up.
It can be done.
I know it can
yes,
be done.
Yes, we know it can be done, but the chances are minute, and they get worse when you lose a guy like
Wes
Welker.
9 times out of 10, they beat us. But on this day, we skate with them. We score with them. We're the greatest team on the planet.
I can't wait till next week.
Put your
when
all
somehow
I can't either, because Andy and I can finally get going on our 2010 draft preparations.
When somehow the Patriots...
In earnest.
When somehow the Patriots pull this game out...
Because the Ravens will have more penalties.
Whatever. That's who they're playing. That's who they are.
Right.
That's one of the reasons.
You know what? The Ravens don't have to play the real Patriots, because the real Patriots have Wes Welker on the team.
That's one of the reasons why I think the Patriots are going to win, is because of the team they're playing. They're playing the Chargers. I might have a completely different opinion.
No, you
would.
You'll have this same tune next Wednesday when we have this argument. If you are lucky
enough
to get
there. You'll say, oh, Norv Turner's a loser, and LaDainian Tomlinson
quits,
and
Philip
Rivers crybaby, and Sean Merriman is...
And Moss got hurt last week, so we are way better than we were 2 weeks ago, because now we lost Welker and Moss.
Well, you know, you can make fun of it all you want, but, history has been on my side.
Sure.
You know,
reason and reality are on our side, so thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
thank you very much. No further questions.
I mean,
how much of the Rook show are we doing for?
I know.
You guys can keep going.
Well, we
got
to go to the locker room, though.
All right, we got to take off. We will be back tomorrow. It's picks.
Are you sure we're going to be back tomorrow?
Well, it's wild card picks. We won't have to hurry.
Right.
Like we haven't had to hurry all season.
I wonder who we're all going to pick in the game.
All right.
See you, John.
See you, John. Hey.